progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access granted. Calibrate digital audio.
Press it, equalize it, add echo.
Setup complete. Initiate transmission.
The paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
Democratic Radio is on the air now.
My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Hey, baby. Been waiting all week for this one. Glad to be with you tonight. Glad to be home. Glad to be here at Wink WNOG coming to you from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Fort Myers and Naples, Florida area. Back from Crawford, Texas. And those of you who were tuned in last week know we had quite an adventure down in Crawford, Texas. And first of all, I want to say thanks to everybody that had anything to do with that. I want to thank Michael and Stephanie and Paul, Mike and Paul, for filling in for us. Lila here in the studio and Johnny, they did yeoman's duty. And Jeff was running the board last week. And we want to thank Dave for the use of the Comrex unit. I'll tell you, that was quite a trip, I got to tell you. And we'll talk a lot about it tonight. We've got many, many things to talk about the trip and other things that happened this week. And I know you'll want to hear all about it. And I know a lot of you have been keeping close track of what's going on down in Crawford, Texas right now. And we've got a special letter from a GI in Iraq that I want to read to you a little bit later that will open your eyes, I'm sure. And what else we got? Well, just various anecdotal stories of what went on in Crawford, Texas, and what's happened this week. Now, I want to talk a lot about Cindy Sheehan this week, but first I want to address something that's been bothering me for a long, long time, and people know me know it has been bothering me. Every week I get many, many nasty emails from white right-wing extremists who claim that we on the left are the angry ones. Well, let me say right off that, yes, indeed, I am angry. And it's my position that if you're not angry about the direction this country's headed right now, then you're not a patriotic American. It's very apparent that this nation has been conquered. Not by some outside force, but within, from within. You know, our country's been captured by those who traffic in hatred and fear and bigotry, and it's been taken over by the war profiteers, the rich and the greedy, and hardly what the founders of this great nation envisioned. They really did see a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, but this current administration has long, long since forgotten those grand words. You know that. And I admit that at times I have feelings of hopelessness, but upon further reflection, you sit down and think about it, I pull back from that despair, and I remember the past, the good and the glorious past that we, the Democratic Party, the liberals, the progressive, whatever you call yourself, what we have stood for, and what we have accomplished over the life of these United States of America. You see, we have history on our side, for we are the ones who have led this nation in progress. It is we who are the inheritors of a proud past, and it's we who have forever engraved the best and brightest moments into American history. We have always been at the forefront of the struggle for what's right and good for this land we love. And don't you forget that. No, yes, the right-wing extremists claim to be the real America, but it is we who are the real keepers of freedom and liberty. You know, the extremists constantly wrap themselves in the flag, but it has always been we who have fought for the freedoms that flag represents. And it's they, so many times, who have twisted the Constitution, and they're trying to twist it again now. But it's we who have made it straight again. Oh, we've seen these dark moments before, and we are in a very, very dark moment right now. Vietnam, the long, arduous fight for civil rights that took so many years, the slavery of the cotton fields in the South, the burning crosses and the hanging trees of the Ku Klux Klan. We've had dark times like the misery of the Great Depression, the fight for equal rights for women, the Nazis, and even Joe McCarthy. But we've conquered all of those blights on this nation because we've never weakened, we have never wavered, and we have never surrendered, and we never will. That's why it's important right now to keep your chin up and keep going. We've been the ones who have overcome these obstacles. It is we on the left who have shared the vision and faith of great men and women like Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy and Rosa Parks and Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt and John Kennedy and scores of others. We are the conscience of this nation, and we have always been so. And we're the ones who have pulled this nation back from confusion, from the abyss, time after time after time. We recognize what is right, and we recognize what's good for this country, for we're the thinkers and the visionaries, and the believers in mankind, instead of wanting to stay the course on a path down a dead end time after time. So my message in all this is that we should never allow ourselves to sink too low with despair over the current events, because we know we'll eventually triumph over this group of extremists who have temporarily hijacked the country. We know that, because history's on our side. That's how we know that. And we'll get stronger, we'll take the country back, we'll get to where we need to be. I promise you that. You can call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Many, many interesting things to talk about tonight. We had an interesting conversation with General William Odom the other day, who was Ronald Reagan's National Security Agency Director from 1985 to 1988. He had some interesting things to say. I'll be passing that along to you. What a time in Crawford, Texas last week. And I know there are a lot of our brothers and sisters down in Crawford, Texas right now. What a place. If I didn't describe it well enough to you, I'll talk about it again this week. It's about 8 or 10 storefronts. Dusty, dirty, unkept little bump in the road of the town. It's got one flashing light in it. No stoplights, really. One little flashing light in the middle of the town. That's okay. I love small communities. But I don't love small communities like that one. I saw the old racist card. I saw the bigot card. I saw the homophobe card. I saw them all played there last week. I heard some of the most ugly, hateful rhetoric that I have ever heard in my life. And lest you think I'm making it all up, did you hear about the incident this week where one of the good old boys down that way put a length of pipe on a rope behind his truck and mowed down the crosses and from Arlington West that he had set up? That's typical. That's very indicative of that area. Very indicative there. Did that surprise me? Not whatsoever. Not at all. Law enforcement everywhere you look, especially out on Prairie Chapel Road where the ranch is and where where Camp Casey was set up. Boy, have they got fancy digs now. They've moved to a new spot, and they've got actually a circus tent set up this week on this. I mean, they moved into the lap of luxury. Got lights in it and a whole bit. And I just saw the pictures of today, so congrats to all the folks who are out there listening, and I know some of you are, and I'm glad you've got it a lot better now. Those of you who heard the program last week realized that it was live radio, and in every sense of the word. Turns out that, let me explain some technical things to you. We were using a device called a Comrex unit, and you plug it into a phone line, and what it does is transposes the voice signal into it and makes it almost sound like a studio-quality sound coming over the phone line. And it's a nice way to broadcast a show. Like back in the old days, we used to have to carry on our backs what was called a MARTI unit, a big old heavy thing and an antenna and all that. But now with these Comrex units, you can carry it in your briefcase and go out and broadcast from you know, a remote location. Well, we set that thing up in what's known as the Crawford Peace House there last week, and we told you all about the Crawford Peace House. And it turns out there was call waiting on the phone line there, and it turns out that the neighbors knew it. And every time someone would call the phone line on the call waiting, why, it would jack us right off the air, and we had to start back over again. And it interrupted us time after time after time. We had an indication that that might happen during the show, so we went door to door in the neighborhood and tried to rent somebody's phone line before the program. And the moment they realized who we were and what we were going to do, it was no, hell no. They didn't want anything to do with that. And I offered them a pretty good piece of change to do it, but nobody was interested in doing it. The Peace House, of course, was bustling with activity. It still is. It's quite a town. And, you know, I'll be telling several stories of what went on down there this week, but I walked down the street and they were having a blood drive. Now, I give blood. I've given blood all my adult life, and I'm fairly healthy right now, so I thought, you know, it would be a good time to stop down and give blood. I had about 5 hours till the show started, and I'd been around the neighborhood and scoped everything out. Not a whole lot to see there. And so I walked down to the blood drive, and I walked up to the door, and the gentleman taking registration looked at me, and he said, "You're not from here, are you?" And I said, "Well, no." And he said, "You're with those people, aren't you?" And I said, "What people are you talking about?" He said, "Those protesters." And I said, "Well, I'm not really protesting, but I'm here to, you know, I sympathize with them, and I'm doing a radio broadcast from tonight." He looked at me with a very nasty look on his face and said, "We don't want your Yankee blood." Yeah, that's George Bush's hometown down there. "We don't want your Yankee blood." So that was just a harbinger of things to come later on in the day, in the evening. We saw it all. We heard some of the nastiest, most racial and terrible epithets thrown at people that I've ever heard in my life. I learned some new words. I haven't shared them with everybody around here because I've got to look up what some of them even mean. I'm not quite sure. But there was a whole lot of new swear words going on, and they do not like people from out of town coming in there. And I was told today by one of my friends, Will. I was talking to Will today, and Will's a delightful, large black man, probably 6'6" and 280 pounds, a very imposing character. And Will's from Houston, Texas. And Will was telling me about Crawford, Texas, and he said, "Don't feel bad." He said, "That town isn't necessarily racist." He said, "They hate everybody that comes into town. Doesn't matter if you're Chinese, you're Czechoslovakian, black, white, yellow, red. They hate everybody that isn't from Crawford." So, oh my, what a trip! But we're glad we went, and we're glad we saw everything that's going on down there, and it's going to continue to happen in that area. And I hope it does until Georgie leaves, just like they said they were going to do it until Georgie leaves. It's going to be interesting to see if they do. It appears that they will be there. And before I forget, I did make myself a little note. I want to tell anybody that's with us tonight from Northwest Airlines, we stand in solidarity with you folks in the union. I've been a union man in the past in my life, and I want you to know I'm with you on this. And I think what's happened because of mismanagement of your company, some outrageous demands being put on you. So we stand with the union folks, as we always have in our whole life. So 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Did you hear George Bush's address today? My word. Don't you know he brought up 9/11 again? Oh, when things aren't going good, and they're not, and he knows they're not, and everybody connected with the White House knows they're not, you just got to mention, get out there and mention 9/11 a few times, and that'll always do it for you. He began what they say is going to be a five-day push to tell Americans why he thinks the U.S. troops must continue the fight in Iraq, and I'm going to tell you a little later on this evening why I think we must not continue the fight in Iraq, so we'll see. I think George is going to have his way, but I think if Cindy Sheehan and the troops... Hey, one thing, if any of you attended a vigil this week, my wife and I did, And there was a healthy crowd at the one we went to down here in Fort Myers. And I know there was a good one in Naples. In fact, there were over 100,000 people that showed up all over the country at vigils. And it's going to do nothing but grow and grow and grow the more they do that. And then I think this administration understands that. And I think they've seen the polls. And I think they know they've got serious trouble. So they trot Georgie out today to talk about 9/11. That always seems to do it for him. Whatever they need to sell, they paint 9/11 on it, and they can do that. So, and of course, coming up September the 24th, they're going to have the big peace walk here in the country, and it's going to be a massive, massive affair. There are going to be many hundreds of thousands of people involved in that. So, if you heard Georgie's speech today, call us, let us know what you think about it. And, gee, I would sure like to invite some of the folks that, sent me some nasty email this week. You wouldn't believe, you know, I get some email from folks that's just downright hateful, and they're always wanting to call you a commie faggot, this and that, and I don't know what all. And I could cite some interesting statistics about that people that like to use that word on people about their own inclinations, but I won't do that right now. They're usually advertising some sort of a shortcoming they have on their end, and well, we won't go into it right now, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Hey, let's go to the phones, and let's talk to Diane.
Guy, I was really glad to hear you there last week, but I'm concerned because you know those people are soulless ghouls. They're not going to care about Cindy Sheehan. Right now, they have turned her just like they did Max Cleland, and they are they're hitting up on Senator McCain again, you know, and making them public enemy number one, like these people are the terrorists. Are you there, Guy?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, you know, that's my main concern. So I'm kicked off the radio through the week on the local station here. I didn't know if you heard that.
No.
Day before yesterday morning, they were talking about supporting the soldiers and how Cindy Sheehan's the enemy and embarrassing the troops. So I called up and I said, well, I wouldn't like to light a candle for the troops because that doesn't achieve anything. Well, right away they let me in because they thought that I was going to down Cindy Sheehan or whatever. And I got on there and I said, how you support the troops is you don't cut back on their benefits. You don't send them off to no big contract wars. You give them the proper attire to wear while they're out in the fields so they're not poisoned and killed, you know, and because of that, they gave 2 hours of running me down, doing like a masterpiece theater, saying how I was parallel to Guy James, and that I liked Guy James, and I was a radio whore because I listened to Guy James' show. This was all, so then I even went into Agent Orange, you know, I said another thing with Monsanto, going into dioxins, and how my husband's stepfather died from Agent Orange, and they called me a liar on that, said that I was an inbred person because I'm from West Virginia. So I'm no longer allowed on there with Ellie Mae Clampett and Jethro in the morning. Yeah, and that because I said how I support the troops. Because of that, I am now blackballed from the radio station. That is what kind of fascist morons we have down here that just love our troops. If they've supported the troops, how could they argue with me on any point that I make? They couldn't even argue. They wouldn't argue. All they can do is start calling names, na-na, poo-poo,
yeah,
putting their fingers in their ears and doing na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, it's the old lawyer trick.
That is how they do it.
When you can't argue, the facts beat on the table.
Well, Guy, I want you to know I've listened to your show. I've always been an independent. And after listening to Ellie Mae Clampett and Jeff Rowe now for the last month and listening to you, believe me, buddy, I'm now a Democrat. I'm a solid Democrat. Count on me. I know how to use the Marty. I used to do live remotes professionally. If you ever need me to go back to the old way and not have to use their phones, let me know and I'll volunteer my work.
Thanks for your call, Diane.
All right, bye, Guy.
I would like to know, and I'll throw this challenge out to anybody listening or to any local host or anybody that wants to talk about it, and I want to know, I want an answer to this. And if you're coming to us from the right, I want an answer to this. I do. I want to know how you can support the troops and George Bush. You tell me how you can do that. And I want you to listen to what I'm about to say, because I really do want to know how you can do that, because I'm claiming that there is no way on God's green earth that after you think about all the intricacies of this problem, how you can support the troops and George Bush. All those people driving around with Bush-Cheney stickers on them, with the ribbons that say support our troops, I want to know how they can justify that. The reality of that is you cannot justify that. Bush pushed for legislation, he and Cheney and Wolf, they pushed for legislation that cut financial and medical benefits of the troops, and thousands of them have been injured and will need medical and psychiatric care when they get back home. So I want to know, I truly want to know how the extremist Republicans, and that's exactly what they are, I want to know how the extremist Republicans can support a man who cuts the needed benefits for the troops. How can you say that on one hand and then say support the troops on the other? Do you see the insanity of that? You can't do it. How is that possible? Obviously, you cannot support a man who wants to drastically cut benefits to the soldiers. You say you also support, but yet you allow the right-wing extremist administration to con you into giving them your support. What is up with that? Have you really sat down and thought about that? You know, this administration can't argue this war on its merits. For a long time, they've known that. Therefore, they resort to demonizing anybody opposed to it. Simple strategy, I guess, because it's working. And when you own the press, you can coerce them into saying anything you want to, and that's exactly what's been going on. But I will tell you this, I mean this to the depth of my very soul, you cannot support the troops and George W. Bush because he has stabbed them right in the back. Time after time after time, George Bush has stabbed our troops in the back. So, if you're from the right, and you're one of those ones out there with one of those ribbons on the back, or a dozen of them like they carry down in Crawford, Texas, I'd like to know. I would like to know how the hell you can support a president of the United States that starts a war, whether you agree with it or not, starts a war, sends them in there prematurely without all the things they needed, just like the IN said, and then cuts their benefits, on the one hand, he's shoving them into battle in Iraq, and he's got the other hand in their back pocket taking their benefits away. You tell me how you can support somebody that can do that. You haven't thought about it that way, have you? I know some of you haven't, and I also know this. I also know now that there are 30% of this country, the polls are showing this, there are 30% of the people in this country that would back George Bush no matter what he did, no matter what. 30% of the people now say that they would back George Bush no matter what. Can you imagine being that stupid? Can you? And I hate to use that word when talking about political foes, but that is downright ignorance, stupidity of the worst kind. I want to know how you can support George W. Bush and the troops. Somebody please explain it to me, because I don't get it. I don't get it at all. We ready to break at the bottom of the hour, Johnny? I think we are. It's time to do that. Don't go anywhere. We've got an awful lot to talk about, and I want to hear your opinions. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Get on the phone, and if you're a right-wing Republican, you answer what I just said. I'd like to hear it.
This is the Guy James Radio Network. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact
Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Rossetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
This might be our man.
He's going to be very popular.
Get ready! Get set! Go! Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2. One.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Please enter your security code.
Access granted. Calibrate digital audio.
Press it, equalize it, add echo.
Set up. Complete. Initiate transmission.
The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04 right now. And chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
Oh, yeah, back with you after the bottom of the hour. You just can't wait. We've got so much to talk about tonight, I don't know how we're going to get it all in. Can't get my mouth to work fast enough, actually. I'm not actually a fast-talking guy. I think everybody knows that about me. I'm kind of slow. But we'll get it in somehow. Let me tell you, let me give you another anecdotal thing that happened in Crawford last week. I'll throw one of these in now and then. I was invited on the Tom Hartman show the other day, and I told the story, and geez, I got the mountain of email over it. I walked into the local diner down there and sat down, and I was dressed like everybody else, I thought. I mean, I don't think I looked weird or anything. I had on a pair of khaki shorts and a white shirt, and I had a hat and some sunglasses and everything. I wanted to fit in. I had sunglasses and a hat. You got to have the hat. And I went in and sat down, and they got these life-size cutouts of George Bush and Babs Bush and all that all over the place. Just Bush life-size cutouts all plastered on the walls. They got them all over the place. It was really weird. Really was. It felt like he was in a mausoleum or something. And I said, when I finally got a table, I sat down, and I was at a four-place table by myself. I was the only one in there sitting there, just one guy at a four-place table. And I told him, I said, hey, you can sit somebody else with me if you want to. Well, I knew that wasn't going to happen after I thought about it for a while. They'd as soon set somebody down with the devil as set them down with me. And so I'm sitting there, and the waitress comes over and asks me what I wanted to eat. And, I've been telling you folks, I've been conditioning and dieting and all that sort of stuff, getting myself in shape. got to defend myself against whatever may happen here, you know, so we're getting in shape to do that. And the waitress asked me what I wanted, and I asked for a chef's salad. Well, big mistake. Big mistake. Don't you walk in the diner in Crawford, Texas, and ask for a chef's salad. Because they didn't know what a chef was, first off. And throwing in the salad part, that really confused them. And they had to think about it for a while. So that tuned them in to the point that I was not from Crawford, Texas. They knew that right off. And so if I'm not from Crawford, Texas, therefore I must be one of them, their protesters. So I'm sitting there, and they bring out this puny-looking salad. And I start eating it, and I start hearing the comments coming from to my left and to my right and from behind me, Yankee bastard. I start hearing all sorts of things like that, no good protesting, those SOBs. Just one thing after another, and I'm no shrinking violet. I am not. Everybody knows me, knows that it took everything I had to just finally eat a little bit off the top of my salad, eat all the goodies off of it, and put my fork down and go over and pay my bill and walk out of there like a good boy, because there's a couple of them that I wanted to, well, I really wanted to. But I thought, you know, guy, when you're outnumbered 212-1, it's not a good idea to start anything. And you know, if anything had happened in there, you know which one would have ended up in jail in Crawford, Texas. So I was good. I really was. They got a hanging tree down there, right outside. I think the rope was still hanging from it. When it went by. So, geez. Let's go to the phone here, and let's go out to Humboldt County, California, and talk to Alice. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy.
Hello, my dear. How are you this evening?
Okay. I think it was great that you went to Crawford, Texas, and I hope you can do it again. If there was any Nobel reason for these soldiers dying, Bush would come out and say it.
Exactly right, my dear. I'm waiting to hear a justification for it, and I haven't yet. And as I mentioned, I'm gonna.
He probably won't come out till September the 3rd.
Yeah, that's when his vacation is over?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Allison. Thank you for calling. It's good to hear from you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Juanita.
Hi, Guy. Welcome back home.
Well, it's good to be back home. I kissed the ground when I got back off the plane, I got to tell you.
You know, it was so good, did you? Well, I was I wanted to ask you a question about Crawford. You were saying on the show the other night that you passed by some beautiful homes there.
Oh, yes.
And in my mind, before that, I was thinking this was like a poor farming community. Is it all well-to-do?
Oh, no. No. It's a poor area. It's a very poor-looking area, but out in the countryside is where all the rich homes are.
Uh-huh.
That's where the fancy ones are.
I was wondering how touched by the war they were.
Not at all.
By our circumstances.
No, they're not touched. You go down this Prairie Chapel Road that leads out of Crawford. You go down the corner and go by this church and then start down this winding little Prairie Chapel Road. And there's one beautiful big farmhouse after another, a ranch house, you might call them.
Mm-hmm.
And we went by that Broken Spoke Ranch where they had that big fundraiser, that $2 million fundraiser for him. And, of course, there were cops crawling all over that place. And, of course, the local sheriffs all over the roads as well. It was quite an interesting place.
And one thing I just wanted to say about that is they act like that they're down there for keeps or something. You know, they're only there for a month.
Yeah.
They stand us for a month.
Well, those people are pretty touchy. They're very, very touchy. And you know what I don't understand? It's like in the restaurant. My goodness, there's a lot of business coming their way this weekend. The gas station selling a lot of gas, and the restaurant selling, you know, and there's a couple of trinket shops there that sell, you know, Bush memorabilia. They were probably, well, no, on second thought, there wouldn't have been any of us buying any of that stuff.
But. Well, you know, there's a bus coming from the other side saying we're not, it's a busload of women saying, Cindy doesn't speak for us.
Well,
talk show she's leading it on.
I got to tell you, some woman from the West Coast, I never heard of her, but one of the local guys on one of the local talk, well, he's a national show, but there's a guy named Mike Gallagher that has a right-wing talk show in one of the stations around here.
Mm-hmm.
I uh, I saw him bring a busload of people out there, and he gets out of the bus dressed in a fake military jacket with epaulets on the shoulder, make it look like he's a military guy. He's never was in the military. Has four stepsons, all of perfect military age, not a single one of them in the military, not a single one of them. And he gets out with a bullhorn, and he and his group chant across the road to Cindy's group, "We don't care. We don't care."
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I send old Mikey Gallagher an email when I get back home and saying, "Hey, Mike, that was pretty classless of you to do that." He writes back and says, "Liar, you weren't there. That never happened." Well, I fired back a few details that only someone that was there could possibly know, and he understood that I was there. And his answer to me was then, "I'm on a 50,000-watt booming station in Southwest Florida. What are you? And would you like would you like to compare paychecks?" I don't know.
That doesn't mean anything.
No. And first he's lying about the 50,000 watts, too. So I tell you. And we're going to, and just coming up in a few minutes, we're going to show you the consummate liar in the Republican Party and just what he pulled off this week, and I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking
about.
Well,
I have one more thing I want to say about our governor.
Yes.
Catherine's running for Senate.
Yes.
And they're trying to get Dulally, the guy with the dead woman in his office, to run, the one who's got the show. I'm sure he's making more money than you, too, guy.
Everybody is. I don't take a paycheck for this.
But anyway, Catherine has said that the only one that she will stop her run for is Jeb.
Yeah.
So I read today a scenario for Jeb running for Senate. I am so sick of these people.
Wouldn't surprise you.
I am so disgusted. I'm so tired of them. Can't they leave us alone just a little while?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they think they got a dynasty going, and they're going to hang with it. Hey, thanks for your call, Wendy. Good to hear from you, my dear.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's go to Julie in Fort Myers. Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Oh, okay. I'm doing fine.
What's on your mind this evening?
I'm worried about the support of the troops.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son and daughter-in-law who are both in the Navy. And my son, from the time he was a kindergarten, he always wanted to be a hospital corpsman in the Navy. And he is that now. And he was over in Iraq for 7 months, beginning in January and through July. And at the same time, my daughter-in-law was sent over to Indonesia for the tsunami rescue and everything. And my husband and I had to drop everything and go to California and pick up two small children and two dogs and bring them back to our house in Florida. And I didn't particularly like it at the time, but I supported my child, and I supported my children. It's something that they want to do. This is their life. My son's been in the Navy for 13 years. This is his life. And I support what he does, because this is what he wants to do. It's not my life. It's his life that he wants to live.
Yes.
And I think it's wonderful what they're doing over there.
In what way?
The kids are upbeat over there. They know what they're doing. They feel confident in what they're doing. My son said, that they're kind of upset that everybody down here is torn between, some people just don't want them to be there, and some people, support them. I think that no matter what our beliefs are, we need to support these kids. These kids are over there because basically it's what they want to do. This is what they've chosen as their life.
Yes, and I don't really know anybody that doesn't support the kids that are over there.
A lot of people do, though. A lot of people are so upset that they're over there.
Well, yes, we're upset that we're over there, but as long as they're there, we have support for them personally, of course.
Not the people that I've talked to and heard. They do nothing but talk bad about these poor kids.
Oh, I haven't heard one derogatory, not one. And believe me, I converse and communicate with many, many, many people, and I've yet to hear the first person say anything derogatory about any individual or group of kids that are over there right now. It's the government.
What about Cindy? Cindy thinks that,
she thinks that the effort is bad. She doesn't say anything personally derogatory about any of the kids that are over there. They're over there at the behest of their commander in chief. And if their commander in chief tells them to go, they've got to go, and they've got to carry out their duty.
Just like anybody else's job, if they tell you to do something.
But the problem is The problem is that even though this is an all volunteer army and military, they have the right to expect their commander in chief to be honest and open and trustworthy, and that is not the case this time. That is not the case.
Unfortunately, most of the kids over there, and you know, I'm talking to my son, and he has firsthand experience about it. Most of the kids do believe in it.
Well, I disagree. I disagree. I would say in the letters, the emails from the families, and the people that I hear from over there, and even some people fairly high up in command over there that we've heard from, I think they do not agree that they've gone there with a noble cause. They're there. And they're there now, and they've got to protect each other and do the best they can and make the best of it. But I don't know very many people that once they've got into that, has thought that it's some sort of a noble cause. Very, very few. In fact, I'm going to read you a letter right now. Julie, thank you for your call. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to read you a letter right now. I think it's a perfect time to do this. Sir, and it starts off, sir, I'm writing, you can always tell it's a military person, sir, I'm writing to you at the urging of most of the rest of my squadron. I'm in the 2nd Squadron, 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, currently in Diyarbakir, Iraq. We've been here for some time now, and we have seen just about everything. We've seen everything there is to see in Iraq, believe me. We've seen enough death and destruction to last a lifetime. What I'm writing to you about is that we who are over here get news from home often, and the news isn't good. To the last man in my unit, we believe the news is being managed and massaged to make it sound so much better than it is. We've had the opportunity to work with some of the Iraqi units which have been trained to protect their own country, and frankly, they are a joke. They are no more prepared to fight the insurgency than are the Boy Scouts back home. We've given them the latest in equipment. In fact, their personal protective armor is better than we had on our first tour here last year. They are a ragtag group who just doesn't seem to really care. At the first sign of trouble, they turn tail and run, waiting on us to do their job for them. We've seen this happen on almost every occasion we've had to see them in action. Also, where is the news about the private companies over here robbing the military blind? KBR is the main culprit, and my unit alone has seen them waste millions of dollars worth of equipment, and also we've seen their people steal everything that wasn't nailed down. They lost a tire on one of their Chevy Suburbans a few weeks ago in our neighborhood and actually took one of our light armored Humvees without permission, all because they didn't want to change a tire. They will leave a brand new Suburban along the road and never go back to get it, and guess who's paying for that? We've seen this happen over and over and over again, and everywhere they serve meals, we get slop. I don't know what they are charging for our meals, but I bet it's plenty. Well, he's right on that. As for all the supposed rebuilding that's getting done over here, I want you to know that is a total lie. Oh, sure, we've seen some schools and public buildings being repaired, but the Iraqis tell us they were far better off than before we came here to, quote, rescue them. Most of them had electricity 24 hours a day, and now they're lucky to get any at all. And in the cities, the sewers are bombed and don't work. Imagine how that smells in 120-degree heat. And the water isn't fit to drink anywhere you go. All we're asking is that someone broadcast the real news, the truth for a change. We've seen the BS some of the media puts out, and it is so far from the truth as to be laughable. All we want to do is protect our own butts and get out of here in one piece. And believe me, the Iraqis will be damn glad to see us go, but not half as happy as we will be to get out of this worthless piece of real estate. We should never have stepped foot on Iraqi soil. Sorry, but this is what the press should be saying instead of what we're hearing over here. Sergeant T.S., 2nd Squadron, 11th Armored Cav Regiment. I hear that same story over and over and over again, and it's hard to argue with it. I've not yet talked to one soldier personally. I'm not saying there aren't any. I would never say that. I'm sure there are who believe they're there for a noble cause, and if they feel they're there for that, good. If that sustains them, good. I hope they feel that way, and I hope they can carry on that way. That's a good thing. But what do they do here in this country? You know, it's like we said earlier, in old legal terms, when you've got the facts, you beat on the facts, and when you don't have the facts, you beat on the table, and when they don't have the facts this week, they beat on Cindy Sheehan. Did you know that Cindy Sheehan is a radical commie liberal traitor? Did you know that? Why, sure she is. After all the newly named fat-ass drug addict Rush Limbaugh said so. He did. He said it on his program. And just don't take old Pill Pop and Rushy's word for it, because Hannity and Glenn Beck and Mike Gallagher and Gordon Liddy and Laura Ingraham and Neil Bortz and legions of other extremist Republican toadies said the same thing about Cindy Sheehan. Why that Sheehan woman is a menace to society, to hear them talk. The nerve of her demanding that the president answer some questions about accountability for the war. The nerve of her. After all, who is she anyway? So she loses a kid in the war. Boo, hoo, hoo, yada, yada, yada. Big deal. Parents all over America have lost kids in the war, and they aren't protesting. They aren't commies like Sheehan. They haven't allowed those leftist commies to get a hold of them and make them say the things she said. No, sir. All the other parents are patriotic Americans who are glad their kids were killed for Bush's folly. They are glad to have had their kids killed in a war started on a lie. You don't see them protesting, do you? Well, I do not question the patriotism of those on the other side. I do have to wonder just what the hell it would take for them to understand just what the real motivation for this war was. We've heard a dozen different things now. Every family grieves differently, and they're all entitled to do it their own way. Cindy Sheehan has chosen to go to bat for America. She's chosen to step up to the plate and try and help all of our soldiers in Iraq by making Bush explaining himself and his foolish actions. If other parents think it's worth it to have their kids' lives snuffed out in Iraq, then fine, go for it. But leave Cindy Sheehan alone. Leave her alone. I'll fight for that one any day. I'm sick to death of hearing some of the stuff that I've heard this past week about that. And as for the believability of what's going on, you want to know... You want to know what the truth is going on? You know, we got 24/7 right-wing radio around here and every place else in America. You know what I'm damn tired of? I'm damn tired of nobody holding people's feet to the fire on these where they carry 24/7 right-wing radio and letting them get away with some of the most unbelievable, ridiculous lies that you can possibly imagine. And let me just give you an example. I know some of you've heard about this example. But I want to give you an example of one right now, this week, of a guy getting his feet held to the fire, and what does he do? He denies his own words. Let's have cut number two, Johnny.
We're going to take a brief time out here to address something. I have been a recipient of a pretty decent amount of hate mail, far, far, far more hate mail than I usually get, just this morning. And I don't really get a whole lot of hate mail, and most of it's funny as it can be. But apparently there is something that is out there misreporting what I have said, and of course these people are reading that rather than listening to this program and choosing to believe it. Apparently what's out there is that I said that Cindy Sheehan is no different than Bill Burkett, that Bill Burkett lied and Cindy Sheehan lied. There are actually out there people saying that I am accusing Cindy Sheehan and making up the fact that she had a son and making up the fact that her son died in Iraq. And of course I've never said this.
And, of course, I never said this. Mr. Limbaugh, of course, I never said this. I never said this. I never said this. 20 million people listen to this program of his a week, one time or another during the week, and he has the nerve. He must have been doing pills. He must have. Because here is what he was talking about, right here. Let's have cut number three, Johnny.
I mean, Cindy Sheehan is just Bill Burkett. Her story is nothing more than forged documents. There's nothing about it that's real. Including the mainstream media is glomming onto it. It's not real. It's nothing more than an attempt. It's the latest effort made by the coordinated left.
It's not real. I didn't say that. And then you hear him saying it. Those of you that are big fans of this guy, what do you have to say about that? What do you have to say? You catch him in an out-and-out, fat, huge lie. Oh, I didn't say that. Then you play it right in his face. I didn't say it. Oh, no. Don't believe my words. Don't believe what I say.
That Bill Burkett lied and Cindy Sheehan lied. There are actually out there people saying that I am accusing Cindy Sheehan and making up the fact that she had a son and making up the fact that her son died in Iraq. And, of course, I've never said this. I mean, Cindy Sheehan is just Bill Burkett. Her story is nothing more than forged documents. There's nothing about it that's real.
What more do you need? Do you need anything more from me? Let me say it here and now. Rush Limbaugh is a liar. He's the worst kind of liar. The very worst kind of liar. He's talking about issues that are important and talking about to 20 million people, the most listened to radio host in America. He is a liar. Period. You just heard it. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't. It's not the conjecture. There it is, out of his mouth, not out of context. There's no way you can spin it. He said it, and then he said he didn't say it. Come on, Rush, be a man for a change, just for once in your life, for one time, Rush, be a man. Come on, this program, and justify what you just said and try and spin it, Rush. Why don't you try that once, huh? Why not try that, Rush? Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, I tell you, the day you came back, you probably were on the road. The lady on this station, who has the morning show, Mandy O'Connell. Do you know her?
Yes, I do.
Talked about you and then proceeded to berate Cindy Sheehan as a mad woman, and then went on, and I just turned her off. I didn't even listen to too much more of it because I was just nauseated. But that's the type of thing that's going on. And I think there's frankly a reason for a Rush, for a Mandy O'Connell, and for all these people. This war is going south.
Absolutely.
President Bush is going south. I brought up, and I called you for a reason, because we always seem to forget there is no legal justification for this war. There was a Constitution called for a declaration of war by Congress, never took place. The president did not have the right to go to war.
Certainly not. And many Democrats, and we're going to talk about that throughout the program tonight. Hey, I'm not just blaming the extremist Republicans. There's a lot of Democrats who didn't have a backbone when this thing came up.
They simply did not follow our own Constitution. And I think that's as right-wing a point of view as you want to get, because the right-wingers always say we have to follow the Constitution.
Right.
There's something else I wanted to bring up. I listened to Bill Maher last night. Did you listen to him?
I didn't get to hear that.
Well, it was interesting, because he had a guest on him on this three panel. One of them was Chris Rock. And everybody's talking, and Chris just brought up something and kept bringing it up and kept bringing it up. And every time somebody changed the subject, Chris went back and started talking about the gas prices, which you haven't mentioned tonight.
It's hard to mention it.
Well, I want to tie this in with the war. I mean, Cindy Sheehan's son, one of the purposes was to bring cheap gas into this, cheap oil into this country. Has that worked?
Hey, they're going to gouge the American public as much as they possibly can. They're not going to give up now. They've got us in their clutches, and we're not getting out of it.
Well, you know, the American public, you know, as the bodies come back from Iraq, and this keeps multiplying every day that we're losing people, the war is going south, the economy is going south, we're all feeling it in the pocket between the gas prices and the inflation. This administration is in the deepest trouble it can possibly be. And, you know, I think we've got to tie the two together. And when all else fails, you've got to use a tar and brush to cover your opponents the way Mandy Connell did in the morning show, the way Rush Limbaugh did as you've had the cut. Because, you know, you've got to spin a web, because otherwise people don't believe what they're really seeing and feeling. And after a while, that's not going to work.
Sooner or later, the truth's going to get out. They can prolong it as long as they want to, and they've done a good delay game. They've been very good at it. But sooner or later, it filters down to the American public, and the polls are now showing just that is happening.
Now, maybe you can answer a question for me. A good politician could have diffused this thing in 2 minutes.
In a heartbeat, you bet.
The situation with Cindy Sheehan, all he had to do as a, there's an old word, a mensch.
Yeah.
Stop his limousine, take a couple Secret Service guys, walk over to her, say, come on into the limousine, let's talk for a half an hour. put it, dropped her off again, and...
End of story.
You know, there wouldn't have been a battle here.
No, it'd be done. I did what I could. I talked to the poor woman, all this and that. That's the end of it, if he'd have done that. But
And then he could say, we agreed to disagree.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, these people generally have been pretty slick with the Karl Roves and Cheney's and all that. What's happening? Are they slipping this badly?
Not going to give an inch, John. They're not going to give an inch.
They are slipping because, you know, there are a lot of people who are saying what I'm saying. You don't have to agree with Cindy Sheehan, but you give her the time.
That's right.
And why is the man, is he getting that entrenched? Is he getting that stupid? And he looks terrible if you look at him in his pictures on TV. He looks like he's falling apart if you look at the lines in his face. I think that we're heading to a breakdown with this administration. And I think that the people like you simply have to point out the facts of what's happening to everybody in this country.
Well, we're going to keep doing it, John. We've got less than 1 minute. I've got about 30 seconds, so I got to go to break. John, thank you for your call. We're going to keep pointing that out time after time after time. As long as we have a breath in our body, as long as we have airwaves to broadcast over, we're going to do that. You can count on that here. That's our job. That's what we intend to do. I will not let them get away with that unanswered. As small as our radio voice is here, we're like the mouse that roared. We're out making all the noise we can now and here on the internet, going to Crawford, doing whatever we can to get the message out. And that's what it's about. John, you're right. It is falling apart. The support for the war is falling apart. And bring them home. Bring them home now. That's what I say. Bring them home right now. And after the break, we're gonna explain to you just why it is feasible and why we should do that right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show, Wink WNOG.
You've been listening to the Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of the Guy James Show is on the way. This is the Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're gonna like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring them on. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats.
What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary?
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he gets back here, he'll be on your own. I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. We got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die with. In some lands that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Mike DeAngelis, San Jose, California. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mieheft, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring them on. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats. What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be your own. And I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. You got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die alone in some land that they don't know about. Every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
What's the big deal? What is the big deal? Asked Mr. Limbaugh. My. What is the big deal? No big deal. And just like Barbara Bush loved to say, as she said on that program with on the Today Show. I've got the exact quote around here. I'd be glad to give it to you. I know where George Bush gets his lack of sensitivity and so forth. He got it from his mom, naturally. He got it from old Babs Bush. She's the one that went on the Today Show and said the morning, and said, why should I worry about body bags and such? Why should I trouble my beautiful mind with things like that? Yeah, there's a lot of compassion and sensitivity in the Bush family. Of course there is. Of course there is. Quickly, before I get back to the phones, I thought I'd tell you things in and out all week long that happened back at good old Texas. Let me be honest about something here. You probably picked this up from me since last week and this week. I'm not a big Texas fan. Never have been. Not since November 22nd of 1963 have I been a big Texas fan, and that's the reason, that's why, and that's why I've harbored some pretty hard feelings about the state of Texas in my adult life. That's it in a nutshell, and I came back there this time, from this time, not feeling any better. And let me tell you one of the reasons why I didn't feel any better when I came back this time. I was sitting at the airport in Dallas, getting ready to catch my flight, which was canceled twice and ended up getting out of there 3.5 hours later. But sitting in the airport, they had Fox News on the TVs everywhere. Oh, my, wouldn't you know? Fox, Fair and Balanced News on all the TVs. They came across on Sunday morning with the story about the protest, the vigil out at Camp Casey. And the Fox News, swear to God, came up and said, there's a woman leading a protest out there. They didn't say Cindy Sheehan. There's a woman leading a protest out at the Bush Ranch, and the place, the airport, erupted into a bunch of boos. They were booing Cindy Sheehan in the airport. I love Texas. Now you know why I came back with the feelings I did once again. That set me off right there, I got to tell you. I was mortified by that. Some woman, Fox News said, is leading a protest out there. And then went on to name all the counter-protesting groups by name and who was leading them, but it was some woman. Fair and balanced Fox News. My God, how do they get the nerve to even say that? How do they? Yeah, we've got more stories from Crawford, Texas. We'll get around to them in a little while. We're going to Julio on the phone right now. Hi, Julio.
Hey, what's going on, guy?
Hey.
Hey, man, it's good you brought that up, because that actually ties into, like, what I was going to talk about. Because I called you a few months ago, and the whole Terry Schiavo thing was going on. And I told you that one of the funniest things to me was how the liberal media covered that whole thing and how all those protesters who were outside of that hospital were all of a sudden considered, it was a vigil. They weren't protesters.
Right.
They were nice people, not extremists, you know, just cool, nice people, you know, not interfering in anybody's life, standing in front of a hospital where people are inside dying. This woman standing in front of a ditch, you know, just, you know, waiting to talk to the president, whether you agree with her or not, but whatever. But she's a protester. She's a radical. She's an extremist. These people, you know, complaining about, you know, cars being parked on the side of the street. So she's interfering with their lives, you know, the people who are having the barbecues and all this stuff. But, you know, standing in front of a hospice, you know, where people are actually trying to go in and see their dying relatives, you know, that's not interfering. Like, that's fine.
You nailed it right on the head. You got it, Julio. That's a perfect analogy. It is.
Right. And you know, like, you were talking about, like what is it that these Republicans, you know, see in Bush and everything and supporting the troops and everything. And I was listening to 1200 earlier today and listening to some of these people and like, they honestly believe that Democrats are in power right now. You know, it's like 7 out of the 9 judges in the Supreme Court were appointed by Republicans, but they're liberal judges. The war and it's going downhill, and even the president admits it now, you know, and it's still the Democrats' fault, even though Republicans control every single part of our government.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, please ask the next person who calls and ask them, what policy exactly has the Democrats put in place in Iraq that is causing us to fail? You know what I'm saying?
Julio.
Like, what is it exactly that they've done? Like, how is it that the Democrats have gotten in the way of the Iraqis being trained? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
How is it that liberals have been able to interfere with our military training Iraqi troops? And one thing I'm getting really tired of is hearing Republicans and especially the president say, oh, we're building schools. And what difference does it make how many schools we're building? He says himself, we're leaving when the Iraqi troops are trained and until they're ready to stand up. Okay, so they can build 7,000 schools. And what the president says is, it doesn't matter how many schools we build until the Iraqi people start fighting. We're staying there forever, basically. That's basically what he's telling people. And in the radio address, I did hear some of it today, and he says something like we're going to fight them, or we can't leave now. If we leave now, it sends a message of weakness to the enemy. That's an admission of failure. Okay? If we were winning the war in Iraq, and you were to ask the president, we need to leave here, he would say, why? We're winning. What do we need to leave for? We're almost done.
You're right.
We've got the Iraqi people trained, and we're ready to go. Instead, what is it? Well, we can't leave now. Basically, what they're telling you is, either way, we're screwed. And we're screwed if we stay, and we're screwed if we leave. But I know I'm the one who's gotten all of this done, so just give me another chance. Give me another chance.
And they
just
did.
Give me other chances. And I don't understand how you can say you support the troops when you are watching somebody, as whether you believe he's lying or whether you believe he's telling the truth. If you believe he's telling the truth, then he's incompetent. You know what I'm saying? If he's lying, then he's a criminal. Either way, how could you say you support the troops when you have someone who is that incompetent running our country?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Julio, thank you for a call. And you're right on the money tonight, brother. Right on the money. That's exactly right. Every analogy you made there is right. You know, I mentioned earlier, and just to carry on a little bit with what Julio said, and we'll get back to the phones here in just a moment, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. I had a conversation this week with retired General William Odom, who was Ronald Reagan's National Security Agency Director from 1985 to 1988. And, you know, he was talking about, why don't we just leave? Now, here's a guy that was, you know, he was in the mix. He was in the inner sanctum of the military and head of the National Security Agency, the director. And he says, why can't we just leave? And so, you know, here's the reason the Bush people say we can't leave now. And all of you know these, but I kind of wrote them down in some order what I think they are. The Bush people say if we leave now, there'd be a civil war. They say the morale of our troops would be hurt if we announced a deadline to get out. You've heard that over and over again. You've heard that Iraq would be headquarters for terrorists from everywhere. You've heard that there'd be big trouble between Iraq and its neighbors. You've also heard that we would lose our credibility if we left now. And also, we're not done training the Iraqi troops, and that's a whole nother story. And also that Iran would take the place over. And, of course, the other one is that the Shiite and Sunni division would boil over. Now, well, let's just quickly address that. And like I said, I'm going to get back to the phone here in just a second. There's already a civil war going on in Iraq. Already. You know, the insurgents are killing many, many more Iraqis than American forces are killing. And we are not presently preventing a civil war, nor will we prevent one by staying. It's not going to happen. We should probably, instead of that, concentrate on restoring strong relations with our European allies and whom we've slighted and insulted over this, and work a little closer with the UN. And if we can get some sort of an alliance, including most of Europe and China and India and Japan and South Korea and Australia to side with us, stabilization of that whole area will be possible. And that's, after all, what some of this is about. All we're doing by staying there right now is preventing a new workable approach from coming to fruition in that area. That's all we're doing. And to address the morale issue of our troops, we wouldn't hurt morale in the military by getting out now. Morale is suffering already because although we're fully capable of winning tactically, we're losing this thing strategically. Everybody knows that. Our military knows it. Bush knows it. And from all the email I get from troops in that area, they're concerned that no one in America is suffering but them. And that's a fact. You know that's true. That is what's dragging down morale. And something else that's dragging down morale, Donald Rumsfeld has done more to hurt morale amongst the brass, the big brass in the military, than any other factor. He's been heavy-handed, and he seeks only the advice of those who agree with his tactics, a practice which is totally proven to be devastating to the well-being of our military personnel over there. As for, what would I say, number three, Iraq would be headquarters for terrorists from everywhere. As for the place becoming a haven for terrorists, Iraq is already spawning enough new recruits to supply the rest of the world. That, yes, sirree, they're in there training right now, spreading around the world. They're coming here, they're going to Great Britain, they're heading all over the place. So, and as for Iran causing trouble, the Shiites are going to take over the government of Iraq, just like the Iranian government is hoping. And once that happens, Iran's influence in Iraq will be vastly increased, not diminished. And our credibility suffer if we left there now? Hey, I believe our credibility would be helped immeasurably by getting out now and admitting it was a mistake in the first place. What better way to establish credibility than to own up to your mistakes? And, you know, the way our credibility will further suffer is to stay there and continue to fight this losing battle. and on training the Iraqi troops. What a joke. We've got a little story about that later on this evening. The reason the Iraqi troops won't fight like the insurgents do is because they're afraid of being persecuted later on. You think about that a little bit. If those Iraqi troops being trained take any kind of a political stance now, and that political stance brings their people to power, they will then be enemies of the state, and believe me, they remember what it's like to be accused of being an enemy of the state in Iraq. So nobody, you know, everybody's going to tread lightly. And worrying about the feud between the Shias and the Sunnis boiling over, we're not preventing that now. Iran is keeping the Shias in line right now, but when a new government's established, Iran will then help the Shias conquer the Sunnis. That's how it's going to happen. So, you know, that's those are some of the thoughts of General Odom, and I think the man has great credibility. He knows what he's talking about. We're going to get back to the phone here right now, and we're going to go to John in Crawford, Texas. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good.
Listen, I heard you on the radio talking about Cindy being over here talking. I'm up visiting right now from down yonder. She was there when I left, and she don't seem to understand that our boys over there, because that's Saddam Hussein, he's behind the 9-1-1 thing. And even Scott Ritter came back and said that there were no weapons of mass destruction over there. I don't understand, guy. What do you people have a problem with her?
I understand. I don't have a problem with her. I think she told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And get one of your other voices ready and call us back, okay? Let's go to... who are we going to now? That was supposedly John in Crawford, Texas. Happened to be visiting here. What are the odds is somebody from that hellhole, Crawford, Texas, visiting Fort Myers and listening to us on the radio? What do you suppose the odds are right now of that? Huh? Not too good, I don't think. All right. We're going to have a special guest right now. You know, our co-host last week, Michael and Paul, did yeoman's duty presenting the program to you, kind of holding over the glue that held everything together last week and made up for our trouble we had with the phone line. I've got somebody actually in Crawford, Texas right now, and we got Paul with us right now. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Guy. What's up? It's good to hear your voice, and just so that your audience knows, I really am in Crawford, Texas. Folks, what city am I in right now?
Where are you, Paul? Are you at the Peace House?
I am at Camp Casey 1. It's called Camp Casey 1 because it's now a Camp Casey 2 that is set up tent about 4 or 5 miles. Well, I have to take that back. About 10 miles closer to the W compound.
Are you okay? So you don't have power out there other than cell phones, right?
That is correct, sir.
Are you doing any work from the Peace House? Or have you been? You've been down there, I assume.
Yes, sir. I've been updating my blog regularly. Also helping to coordinate that general media that flows out of there. I came up with 3 other Ashevillians, and one of them is taking over the kitchen. One is a videographer, and the last one has been helping our Asheville videographer go around and get some very good footage of what's going down in Crawford, Texas.
Paul, give me your take on the day today. What was it like?
The day today, guys, best way to describe it is a beehive. But when I say beehive, I don't mean a manic beehive. You look into a beehive and you see little bees running around. It's so much activity, but it's been so well organized. Everybody's moving with purpose. The organizers just have all their ducks in a row. No decision is made without having thought through not only the logistical standpoint, but the legal standpoint, negotiating with the police, negotiating with the counter-protesters or the pro-Bush supporters across the street. So the best way to describe it, sir, is busy, but everything is running very smoothly.
What's the mood of the people individual right now?
Extremely high. I can't even. I'm going to have to speak a little bit in religious terms, Guy, because you know I was raised Christian, and the only way I can really describe what's going on here is kind of like is to use that language. So I apologize to your listeners who may not come from that.
Don't apologize for anything, Paul.
Okay. Well, like you know, we were taught that by Jesus that if we cared for one another and if we shared and if we were kind with one another, we could experience the kingdom of God on earth. And I just have to say that being here for the last 3 days and just seeing people come together has given me just a little bit of glimpse of what the afterlife might be like. And if that's if heaven is anything like Ken Crawford, we've got nothing to worry about in the afterlife.
Wow. Yeah, I want you to know you just gave this radio host some goosebumps there, Paul. I guess everybody knows what goosebumps are, but
yeah.
That's a very profound statement, what you just said. And I can identify with what you're talking about. I had a chance to take in the whole scene last week and talk from there. And the crosses, are the crosses all back up, Paul?
Yes, sir. The crosses are all back up. Now, keep in mind that I'm a poor judge of how many crosses are actually out there. I've been told that there are only 800 crosses actually on display at Camp Crawford. I could be wrong because I look at the road by, and it's just these crosses just extend about as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, I was
800. I'm actually.
Yeah, I think I misjudged the numbers of them last week too. I understand there were only about 800, but they did seem to stretch on forever. They got them all put back up and repaired after the debacle that happened early on in the week.
Yes, sir. And every cross that was destroyed by the Bush supporter last week has a little road in front of it now.
All right. Now, as far as disruptors, Paul, have you seen any of that today?
I have to say, this morning there was a little bit of a standoff with a bunch of motorcycle riders, men on horseback, and a few bleach blonde Bush supporters waving American flags. It got a little bit tense. Everything backed down, mainly because the organization on for Gold Star Brothers is spot on, but I also have to give a lot of kudos to the local police force. The local police force here has done nothing but be professional all the way through. Earlier today, I spoke with Buddy Spelling, which is the
yes.
legal liaison, and he had nothing but positive things to say about the professionalism of the Crawford Police Force.
Yeah, Buddy's from New Orleans, I believe. He and his wife are, I think it's Jill. I think they're both there, and
yeah.
I got a chance to visit with them last night. Super people, just
excellent.
Super people. Well, how long are you in for, Paul?
I will never leave Camp Crawford, sir. I will always be, they're always going to be a part of me here, even after the people leave. But I suppose physically, I'm planning to leave tomorrow, unless a miracle happens that I can stay longer.
Okay. Well, Paul, I so appreciate talking to you this evening. And once again, I want to give you my heartfelt thanks for helping out with the program last week. I think you and Michael were just fabulous. I got a chance to hear the archive of the program. And despite all the trouble we had with phone lines, this, that, and everything, I thought you guys were fantastic. And I do so admire you for going down there and giving us the report. And I want to thank you so very much, Paul. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Excellent. May I say one more thing real quickly?
You most certainly you can.
I just want to say hello to all my friends on the Democratic Underground. This is Brain Shrub. I just want you to know all the bloggers out there in the blogosphere, your help is deeply appreciated. Your support is deeply appreciated in more ways than I can possibly say in a 10-second sound.
Give them your blog site, please.
Oh, it's www.brainshrub.com, as in a brain in your head and a shrub. President.
Okay, well, we'll get some visits on that, I'm sure. Paul, thank you so much.
You bet. Take care, sir.
Good to hear from you. Wow. Things are still good at Camp Crawford. Camp Crawford, Camp Casey, really, in good old Crawford, Texas. Doesn't sound like a whole lot different than what it was last week, and I hope they... Well, I know they're prepared to see it through. I know they are. We're going to go back to the phones right now, and we're going to talk to Mike out in sunny California. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Guy. Bushy, it's Pete from Democratic Underground.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, we have 6 weeks between now and September 30th to educate people about what is under the hood of this so-called fair tax, which used to be called the national sales tax. And my concern is that John Linder, representative from Georgia, who has the support of Tom DeLay and Dennis Hastert. And Dennis Hastert promoted Linder to the House Ways and Means Committee so he would be in a position to maneuver and make this national sales tax go through. The reason why Linder is co-author with Neil Bortz on a new book on the so-called fair tax, the reason why Linder is no longer calling it national sales tax is because the national sales tax got negative press. And the way that the GOP thinks and the way that the George Bush administration thinks is that if you call something fair, the sheep out there will believe it's fair.
Oh, yeah.
It here's my concern, Guy. I got to believe law of averages. Somebody listening to this show right now, whether they're on Democratic Underground or not, is unemployed. And what I want that person to think about is that if you worked and if you put money in the bank and if you paid income tax on that money and you're living off of that money right now while you're looking for work, if this fair tax goes through, the government will take at least another 50 to 60% tax out of that money when you spend it. This thing about the 23% from Linder, it's a lie, okay? I posted Nancy Pelosi's take on this on your thread on Democratic Underground. It's post number 41. I beg people to read this. If they're affluent enough to where this is not going to affect them and they don't care, God bless them. But if they're working people, September 30th is the date they need to mark on their calendar, because that's when Bush's tax panel turns in those recommendations, and this fair tax is going to be one of them.
Wow. Well, I know you've been keeping everybody posted on this. Do you really think it's got a good chance of getting through?
It's not so much the idea that it's got a good chance of getting through, Guy. It's what I want people to understand is if they go to Google right now and they type in John Linder, Georgia, and they go to his website, there's a poll on his website that claims that 87% of the people who responded to the poll want this tax. Okay?
Yeah.
The other thing is there's a far GOP right-wing website called redstate.org that on a daily basis, if you go to Google News and you do a search on Bush tax reform, every single day for the last 2 weeks, there's been a new article on this redstate.org that is extolling the virtues of the fair tax, and one of the most recent ones from the last couple of days misquoted Nancy Pelosi, the article I posted in your thread, and said that it actually supports everything that she was asking for in terms of a fair tax. It's a lie, and it's coming. And Guy, the last thing I'll say, two things before I go, because I try to be respectful of the time I spent on the phone with you. Two things I'll say. If people want to lay down on the train tracks and not be informed that the train is coming, I can't control that, okay? The other thing is that as far as what you need for your show to keep your show on the air, one of the things you got to understand about Democratic Underground is they got severely burned by the Andy Stevenson situation, and you know this.
Yes.
Okay, but what I think you need to do is I think you need to sit down and figure out what it's going to take to keep your show on the air, and whether you approach Skinner personally or you ask myself or Ben Birch or any other people to do it for you, if Democratic Underground knew what you needed and Skinner sanctioned it, it would happen.
Well, we'll certainly
as sure as the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west, guys, so you need to give that some thought. And whatever you need me to do or Ben to do or anybody else on Democratic Underground, I'm sure we'll do it for you. But you're going to have to make the request.
All right. I take you at your word, and I will contact you soon. Thank you so
take
much.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Hey, it's bottom of the hour right now, and don't you know we got a break, so let's do that right now. We'll be back soon.
This is the Guy James Radio Network.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
This is a very sensitive subject. Not good. Bam. Yeah. From the moment I heard Barbara say I had a son, I knew that I'd be safe cause I'd never be alone. We GOPers shouldn't speak a lot about our feelings. Both hurt and pain don't make us too appealing. I hope Junior would look up to me, run the business of the family. Have an evil empire just like his dear old dad. Get him out of Vietnam, that doesn't look too bad. Junior should act like he's a good guy. Finish up my war and cover up his lies. Be evil and show no feelings too. Listen to Dick Cheney, who'll tell him what to do. Junior's in jeopardy. Carl Roof, see? Cut him off. Treat him unfairly. Nothing else matters. Oh, siree. Nothing else but the legacy.
George, what are you doing? Are you what are you doing, George?
Sorry there, Dick. Just
what, George, what are you doing?
Singing my son a little something. But you'll get to see it. Hopefully you'll get a chance to see it. Know what you're all about.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com.
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Ann Ross, New York, New York. Luciano Ursetti, Cape Coral, Florida. Alice Knowlton, Milford, Massachusetts. Dave Goggin, Eureka, California. Annette Fenner, Marysville, Washington. Joe and Nancy Vogel, St. Paul, Minnesota. Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida. Sarah Kay, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Marcia Johns, Merritt Island, Florida. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Helpful marketing tip number 201. If your audio production company puts you on hold and you hear either Muzak or some generic
"really appreciate your call"
message, you may not want to trust them to produce your message on hold either. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show.
Weekend Station, Wink, WNOG.
The Guy James Show. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500. 7501-0203-04 right now. And chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
All right. Glad to have all of you back with us right now. And I'll just start this half hour off by doing something I don't do a lot of on this program, because I usually say what I mean and mean what I say. But I'm going to apologize to some folks from Texas. I didn't want to brand all Texans as nasty people, bigot, racist, homophobes, and all that. Perhaps I made it sound that way. No, certainly not. I had dinner on Friday night down there with a bunch of DU folks, great folks, Texans through and through. Some of them born there, some of them raised there, some of them moved there. And I certainly don't want to say or impugn everybody that's in the state of Texas, because after all, I live in Florida, and we certainly have our share of warts in Florida, as you well know. My God, just look at our governor, and just look at our former Secretary of State. They got Catherine Harris here, and the whole lousy election fell in 2000 because of the mess that went on here in Florida. Somebody the other day said, I thought a writer for the Miami Herald said it so perfectly. They said, why do all these things happen in Florida? All these murders and the kids taken away and all these rotten things you hear that goes on in Florida. He said, well, now, if you can imagine picking up the country, you're standing at a big map of the country and you tilt it. You just tilt it all this one way. He said, all the sludge just runs right down through Florida. So I guess he kind of got a point right there. So I don't want to brand everybody from Texas. Heck, I know some good folks from Texas, and I want to apologize most specifically to someone called Lib in Texas who reminded me of that. And thanks for doing that. I'm not always right. Most of the time, but not always. Hey, let's get back to the phones, and let's talk to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, hi. Good evening. It's
howdy.
Nice to hear. You know, it was nice to meet you down at the rally.
Hey, it was a good rally the other night.
It was, and I'm going to talk about that. But, you know, this fellow mentioned this fair tax, and first of all, when somebody tells me something's fair, I know it's not going to be fair.
Yeah.
But I've heard this Bort's talk, and one guy called and said, well, when's this going to take effect? And Bort says, immediately when it passes, the beginning of the next tax year in January, it'll be in effect, and that's when it starts. In other words, our income tax system ends completely, and this new deal they got going starts whenever it gets passed. Now, I don't know, but I thought Bort's had been around this country a little while to realize that when you're dealing in government, things are phased in and phased out. They just don't end abruptly and start that quickly.
That's right.
So the man is totally unrealistic. And of course, if whatever they have passes, you know we're going to have an income tax and the alleged fair tax. I saw Donald Rumsfeld on Charlie Rose's show last night briefly, and this man could not answer any questions that Charlie Rose asked. And I'll just give one example of questions. All of them had to deal with how are we coming over there and when do you see some light at the end of the tunnel, things like that. And he asked Rumsfeld, is there an increasing number of the enemy or insurgents, as they're called, or is there a decreasing number? What are you finding? And Rumsfeld's answer is, well, we don't really know, Charlie. We can't tell one way or the other what's happening. Now, these guys, you can't tell me that they're not watching numbers.
Oh, man.
And all this kind of stuff, and could give an answer. But, you know, Rumsfeld was the guy that constantly was on television to say, we know they have weapons of mass destruction, and we know where they are.
Well, he also said, we know what we know, we don't know what we don't know, and sometimes we know what we don't know.
I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot that one. But damn it, Donald, if you know he has them and you know where they are, tell us now and get our boys home.
Yeah.
Diane, I heard Diane, and she's a very sweet lady, and I listened after the rally to that Ellie Mae and Jethro in the morning after the rally to see what kind of comments they were going to make. And they had a few callers calling in. One guy said, well, they probably had just about 40 people down there because the news always reports the wrong numbers, and I've been to one of them, and they said there's 200 people there, and there was only 20.
I counted 152.
My wife counted 140, and that was probably that there were still people coming. So I'm sure that you have a better figure than she had.
Because I was getting prepared for them to say there were 12 people there.
You bet. So what I did, and Diane is a sweet person, and for these people that run her over the coals like they do and not want to listen, and why is it that Republicans just don't want to hear any other view but theirs, as if theirs is the only right view on the planet?
Oh, yeah.
I just don't understand not wanting to discuss the, and the president, you know, he could have, and even the news media people say, he could have nipped this demonstration in the bud down there, just went out and talked to the lady, but you know, the man just can't talk off the cuff to anybody because he doesn't know what to say. And you know, when I tell you what he said, how he said Social Security works, shows he doesn't know how to talk.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to carry on a conversation with Cindy.
But when I called Ellie Mae, I told her, look, and this is after several people were calling, trying to put down the rally. I said, I was there. And I said, have you ever watched Ice Melt? That's about as exciting as it was. And that kind of threw her for a loop. And I explained that there were, you know, 140, 150 people there. We all gathered, and we had 10 minutes of silence. People did speak about their people who had been killed over there in Iraq or people who had served, and I heard no derogatory remarks regarding the president. And the only comment I heard that even mentioned him was, Mr. President, bring our boys home. End this war now. And it's actually a police action. It's not a war anymore. The war's been fought. Now it's a police action. Trying to keep the thugs and the criminals and the scoundrels in tow over there, because that's a massive job. On one of the reports I saw, your professional people are leaving there, doctors, anybody that's of any stature is leaving there because it's unsafe for them, and they just want to be left alone and live, but they face kidnapping or shooting. One family it's a Shiite and a Sunni thing now. Where a Shiite,
oh yeah, they're kidnapping doctors like crazy and asking big ransoms.
Oh yeah, and everybody that has wants to live is leaving the country. So it's falling into the decay of the criminals and so forth.
Sure.
And the one Sunni family, they're. One of their relatives was shot, so they all go to a hospital with him, hoping that they'll save his life. When they come out, they're all killed by the Shiites or the Kurds, whoever was their opposition there. So you have these factions fighting each other, and it's no place for us to be.
No.
If our men didn't go out on patrols, they wouldn't be getting killed.
That's right.
So,
got to move on, John.
Thank you,
thanks so much for your call. You know, to give you some idea of the veracity of the people running this, of a Donald Rumsfeld and a Paul Wolfowitz, now he's not with the World Bank, but when he was in the midst of this, he's a Bush toady all along, and George Bush himself and Dick Cheney and all. I caught a hold of a story where a guy was keeping track of number of army and police, Iraqi army and police people that were training, okay? And he did it chronologically. And so follow me on this. Back on July the 23rd, and this is why you can't believe a damn word any of those people say. You can't believe anything they tell you. And this is, if this doesn't tell you why, I don't know what does. Back on July the 23rd, 2003, Bush said, "Our goal is to turn over authority to Iraqis as quickly as possible. Coalition authorities are training Iraqi police forces to help patrol Iraqi cities and villages." Fine. That's on July 23rd, 2003. On August 13, 2003, they said the Americans would like to create a new division of labor on security, with the Iraqi police and internal security forces assuming more responsibility for keeping order at home. Fine. September 17th, just after that, the next month, here's a quote from Bernard Kerik. Remember him? Former police chief of New York City, that they found out that he was a worse philanderer than Bill Clinton ever was, and they were going to make him head of Homeland Security and all. You remember him? A scoundrel, a real scoundrel. On September 17th of that year, and I quote him, he said, "In 4 months, we brought back 40,000 police officers, 400 cars in Baghdad, 35 stations, communications all over the country. I couldn't have done that in New York City as the police commissioner in 5 years." So I'm not really sure what the critics are talking about when they're saying it's taken too long. So that's in September of 2003. He's got 40,000 on duty. In October of 2003, they said, "Oh, we've got," this is Paul Wolfowitz talking, "we've got 80,000. A month later, he said, "we've got 80,000 Iraqis on duty now." Okay? A month later. The very next day, the following day, they're saying that they've got 15,000 on duty. This is the day after he said they had 80,000. He comes back the next day and tells another group that they've got 15,000 on duty. Remember, had 80,000 yesterday, but now we've got 15,000. So we go on to November 2nd, just one week later after having it down to 15,000, 1 week later, we're talking to Donald Rumsfeld on ABC this week, and he says, "We've got 100,000. This is a week after saying we had 15,000, down from 80,000 the week before. Donald Rumsfeld, in November, 1 week, went from 15,000 to 200,000, to 100,000, and our plan's going to go to 200,000, he says. So, 1 month from that day, 1 month from the 100,000, he said, now we have in excess of 140,000 Iraqis providing security. They are training people like there's no tomorrow. And 1 month later, he said, Wolfowitz says, there are 200,000 Iraqis now in the police. I mean, they trained 160,000 of them in a month. In March, we're making very good progress. We're up over, this is Rumsfeld, we're up over 200,000 Iraqis that are fully trained and equipped on Face the Nation, Donald Rumsfeld. March the 14th, 2004. On April, President Bush said, "I was disappointed in the performance of some of the Iraqi troops. If there needs to be more intense training, we'll do that." Okay, so we go to May, and Bush is saying again, we're going to accelerate the program. In June, They said there are currently over 200,000 Iraqis on duty. 200,000 in June of last year. In July of 2004, said, I think the measure of success is when Iraqis are bearing most or all of the fight, Wolf Welch is saying. In September, the Iraqi government now commands 50,000 armed and combat ready. This is by Prime Minister Alawi, actually coming from the horse's mouth right in Iraq, you see. He says there are 50,000. Rumsfeld was saying there were 200,000. Now, I could be wrong, but that's a little bit of, it's kind of a big mistake in counting. I don't know. But the guy actually over there says, Alawi says there's 50,000, and Rummy's saying there's 200,000. And then on September the 27th of the same year, the Pentagon documents show that of the nearly 90,000 people in the police force, says the Pentagon, this is Bush, only 8,000 have had training. You know, it goes on and on and on like that. 150,000 one month, 15,000 the next. One guy said they were out in the field and they went into, where was it, in Fallujah? They went into Fallujah and he said most of the Iraqi police force dropped their weapons and ran and they never came back. By mid-November, this is our commander in Mosul. He said, I went in with 2,000 Iraqis and there were 50 left when it was done. A similar exodus in the Iraqi army. Let me tell you, there were some sleepless nights. So here's what we're faced with. Back and forth. There's 200,000, there's 15,000, there's 80,000, there's 40,000. Nobody knows. Or the more plausible answer is nobody wants to admit what is really going on there. That training program is a joke. It is an absolute joke. Let's go to Connie in Cape Coral. Hiya, Connie.
How are you, guys?
Good.
Nice to talk to you. I just briefly was over in Port Charlotte at the Cindy Sheehan Vigil where there were over 40 people. And it was pet-friendly, and a lot of people had their dogs. So we were supporting Cindy.
Good, good.
I wanted to talk briefly about, and I don't remember if I called in and talked about it before, but the false number of dead being reported in the war. There's a book coming out in September by Brian Herring, H-A-R-R-I-N-G, by Dandelion Books, and I believe that's a European company, but it's going to be available. He's an American. He's signed with Dandelion Books. And you can find out information at www.dandelionbooks.net. It's coming out in September. It's going to talk about how there are over 9,000 dead in the war, that the Department of Defense has given a different definition to who's actually considered dead in the Iraq War. Those are people who have actually lost their life on the field. And when, in fact, those that they are driving to the hospital who die on the way to the hospital or in the German hospitals are not counted in the in the total of dead that we're hearing about. And that book's also going to be available at Amazon.com and other places in September. So okay. It's another way in which they're fixing the facts. And this whole group has even admitted that, you know, they'll create the facts and, you know, consider it, you know, that they're writing history based on how they want it to appear, not how it actually is. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, I do thank you for your call very much.
Mm-hmm.
And very informative, as always. Let's see, who are we going to go next? We've got to go to who's been waiting the longest here for a change. Let's go to Mike in North Carolina.
Hello, guy.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, it's good to be back. It's definitely good to hear you back from Crawford.
Well, it was a long road back, let me tell you.
I can imagine.
And Mike,
I just wanted to first thank you for giving me the opportunity last week with Paul, the co-host of the show. And it has just been, it was an amazing experience. It was a great experience, and I certainly miss being in the air with you.
Well, we miss having you, Mike. You know how I feel about having you. We're having everybody talk amongst yourself. Mike and I having just a little get-together here, an old reunion. But for a lot of you that may not know here, Mike used to be the co-host of the show when he lived here in Florida, and I could depend on Mike, just snap my fingers, and whatever subject it was, He knew. He knew everything about it. He was just he was like having a computer set next to you. And,
a little off kilter computer set, perhaps, but certainly off the cuff most of the time. It was easy to do though, because you always have your facts straight and you've got your prepared show and everything. So it was really easy for me to do. I wanted to make a couple comments. One was apparently today in the radio address, and I haven't been able to pick up the show on the internet tonight, so I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before yet, but you know, Bush once again has invoked 9/11 in conjunction with Iraq. And they continue to do that. There is absolutely nothing that has ever come out that suggested that there was any connection between Iraq and the attacks on September 11, 2001. I mean, when will they stop?
Yeah, they're never going to give up on that one because they know it works.
We'd like to get on with our lives.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it continues. I think, you know, Rumsfeld, you were talking about Rumsfeld earlier, you're talking about mixing up his numbers on the police forces there. Well, it's reported that about 3,000 of the police officers and military that they've trained in Iraq have been killed so far. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, every time they, you know, and a lot of times they're lining up for work, and then it's just another condition of people occupying a country, putting people in desperate conditions. Then they go for the only job they can get, being a cop, and they get blown up. You know, and it's a tragedy actually what we're doing to them. And you know, it continues. And Rumsfeld, I don't know if you ever saw this, but it was on one of those weekend Sunday shows last year, and he was saying that the media had made up the whole concept of imminent threat or immediate threat. Iraq. Did you catch that?
Right. I saw clips from it, yes.
Yeah, Tom Friedman was on there and some whoever was hosting the show. And, you know, first they read a quote that was very close to it. And Rumsfeld was like, well, you know, I didn't say imminent threat. And then the next quote he read, bam, you know, Iraq is an immediate imminent threat to America. I mean, the guy is a bald-faced liar.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he knows the truth from a hole in the ground. And I don't understand why the press doesn't hold them to it. I mean, you had that one instance in, what, 5 years?
Yeah, and, Mike, you know, nobody with a big megaphone is going to say anything. You know, I always liken this to the fact that, making the analogy that we're all in a great big stadium, and they have control of the public address system, and we've got a little megaphone down on the sideline. They can lie any way they want to, and they know they're not going to get punished for it very much.
Well, true, and they go by the theory that if you repeat something enough times, enough people are going to believe it. And
that's
the fact is, with enough, you know, the idiot boxes are in every room we have in this country. I mean, you know, people get their news. Fewer and fewer people read papers, which offers usually a little more in depth. Analysis of a subject matter or a story. You've got people getting these 10-second, 5-second sound bites, and they know, they understand, and this is a horrible thing to say, but if you do that enough times, most people, if they're caught up in their little box of economic pressures of credit card bills, which have been, once again, you know, Congress passed where they could charge you more now for a minimum, you know, biggest money call in the history of America, I think, or margin call, they've got these things, so all they hear are these little snippets, and they're going to think, a lot of people are going to think that way. It's taken years for us to finally get through to a majority of Americans that Bush is basically a lying, psychopathic nutcase that's going to drive this country right off the cliff.
Yeah.
And it's barely over 50% still. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, obviously those numbers are getting worse and worse. Thank goodness they're getting worse and worse. But man, it takes a long time when you do not control that stadium sound system when the people are in the stadium.
That's right. Well, I hope we're making some inroads into that. We try so hard to do that. We work at it each and every week, and I know other liberal broadcasters around the country are trying very hard to even up the score, but it's not easy, as you know. And those of us who are progressive or liberal or whatever you want to call us, it's hard to get the funding. There's not a lot of space left on talk radio to get in. It's all driven by money.
It's all about money, and
it
unfortunately,
is.
Money will oftentimes consolidate itself. And this is, you know, back when the trusts were busted, back at the turn of the last century. There was a reason for that, because there's no power to the people there. It's power to a very few people. It's power to a plutocracy. It's power to a corporation. And, you know, I would think, you know, most Republicans aren't rich because most Americans are not rich, okay? So you would think that a lot of them, if they were given that message, would understand that they are the little guy, and they need some cooperation from other people. They need society to work with them, not against them.
That's right. Mike, thanks for your call. It's so good to hear from you. And once again, thanks for the great job that you and Paul did last week.
Thank you so much, and keep up the fight.
You bet. Well, let's take another call before the top of the hour here. Let's go to John in Naples. Hi, John.
Yeah, how you doing, Guy?
Good.
Guy, I got to say amen to everything was just said, because I agree with all of it. But I'll bring another subject up, something which is near and dear to all of our hearts. Gasoline prices.
Oh, man.
Has anybody stopped to think what in the world was in that energy bill which got passed? As soon as that bill got passed, we started going up 2, 3, 4 cents a gallon every day, and it keeps going.
They've got us where they want us.
Anybody read all them pages in that bill? What gave these people the right to rob us?
Well, they've...
They wrote it. Let's face it. This is the one which, you know, sat in limbo for 4 years, which Cheney and his buddies from Enron and wherever cooked up.
It was nothing more than a corporate...
Which they didn't even want to let you
corporate,
know.
Corporate welfare. That's all it was.
Meetings.
Yeah.
They had a big pork fight over it.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
Now, as soon as it got passed, bim, 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 bim.
Yeah.
The prices went up. I mean, I know we got a problem with terrorists in the Middle East and what have you, but we got terrorists in Washington.
No, they're not going to have any mercy on us. The oil terrorists aren't.
No, we're done.
We got the oil terrorists right here in the country.
In 1970, I had a gas station in Hollywood, Florida. They used to sell gas for 25 and 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, 25 cents.
We'd settle for $1.25
you know,
right
if
now.
If you wanted high test, it was 2 cents more, 27.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're never going to see
we'll never see those days again.
Yeah, we never will. They're gonna rob and steal us blind on that.
I was making as much money then as I was now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a tough thing going filling up the old tank right
now.
Hey, John, thanks for your call. We're coming up on the top of the hour. Thanks so much. Good to hear from you. Yeah, how do you like that? You pull in. I drive a vehicle that doesn't hold a lot of gas, but I filled in the other day and I was pretty low and. $49, and I know there's guys that got bigger cars with bigger tanks. You hear there's $60 and $70, and some of these SUVs even more. Woo. It's getting to hurt, isn't it? Does anybody think that won't hurt retail business? Not that they won't still drive to go to the retail business. Just once they get there, they don't have any money to spend, the discretionary money, because they've spent it all for the gasoline to get there. That's the problem. So. I don't know what the answer is, but they're sure gouging hell out of us right now at the gas pump. But don't worry, Bush will fix it. Hey, you're listening to Wink WNOG, the Guy James Show, 1240, 1270 AM, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be back after this.
You've been listening to the Guy James Show, America's number one democratic radio talk show, counteracting the melodrama and sarcasm of the radical right. All that's left is the truth. Stay tuned. More of the Guy James Show is on the way. This is the Guy James Show on Wink WNOG.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
Helpful marketing tip number 103. If you have a web designer, a graphic designer, and a search engine optimizer, you may be spending a lot more than you're making on your website. Remember that any web designer worth their salt is already an expert graphic designer and an SEO all in one. If not, you may want to consider changing design firms. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
We at the Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller,
Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Ben and Suzanne Williams, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mehef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them?
Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring 'Em On. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats.
What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he gets back here, he'll be at your home. And I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. You got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. This is too much for them to die with. In some land that they don't know about. Every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
Helpful marketing tip number 302. Even though you may be paying for full color, the average person can only assimilate four or five easily. Rather than swashing every word, header, or border in every variation of every color in the rainbow, try choosing two or three solid colors either you like or that represent your business and go with those. J2K Productions. We just do it better. Find out how at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number two, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show. Democratic Radio is on the air now.
Country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream today.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Now here's Guy James.
Oh, yes, we got a rocking show going on tonight. So glad to have all of you along with us tonight, our local audience here at Wink WNOG territory here in Southwest Florida, all up and down the coast and heading over toward Lake Okeechobee. And, of course, our Internet audience. Glad to have all you folks out there on the Internet on Democrats.com and Democrat Underground and all the folks with us. I have so much to talk about this hour, and not nearly enough time to get in everything we wanted to talk about. And I'll get to the phones in just one moment. Bill, bear with me. I'll get right to you and all the other folks on the line. I just wanted to bring up a situation I saw this earlier this week, and I know you all saw it. Wasn't that guy who mowed down the crosses at Camp Casey this week a great representative of the extremist right? Wasn't he, though? Doesn't he just personify what you see so many times? I sure thought so. And You know, with his pickup truck dragging a length of pipe behind him, he showed complete disregard for those who died in the service of their country and totally total disdain for their families as well. And when you think about it, it's no different than what Bush is doing right now. So what if 1,800 kids died over there in a totally useless war? So what? They aren't his kids. And isn't that the attitude of most of the war hawks? Most of them don't have anyone over there. Oh, yeah, it's really easy to promote war when you personally have nothing to lose. Sure, let's go to war, but don't take my kids. You know, fighting terrorism in Iraq, sure we are. Sure we are. If it weren't so tragic, it'd be funny having the leadership of this country committing vast human resources and billions of dollars to a war in one tiny country where the actual terrorists are spread out all over the world. But what really continues to puzzle me is, and I'll never get over this, is the support the extremist Republican leadership gets from the people. I mean, I know his poll numbers are way down, but still 30-some percent of the people approve of what he's doing. Can you believe that? That 30-some people out of every 100 people in the United States approve of what he's doing over there? Ooh. You know, how unbelievably ignorant do you have to be not to understand that you're being taken for the right of your lives by believing Bush concerning this war? Really? You know, if you're one of the now shrinking minority who supports Bush and his war, what's going to take for you to come to your senses and realize that you've been had in a very big way? Surely that's starting to creep into your mind. You've gotten involved in a game of three-card Monte, and you've been made the fool by Karl Rove and his little band of thieves over there. You know, that's the hard part for me to understand. The utter disregard for American lives displayed by the extremist Republicans is just mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling to me. I don't think I'll ever be able to fathom that. I really don't think so. As promised, we got Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Guy.
Glad to have you along with us tonight, Bill.
First of all, thank you for going to Crawford, and thank everybody for keeping that show going when every possible snafu hit you. I couldn't believe it kept going, and everybody really went over the top on that show.
Well, we had that bulldog mentality. We weren't going to give up.
That's good. You say that 70% of the people are now against this war, and when is it going to bring home to the Republicans? And I think the answer is the midterm election. Congress is not going to go out there and face the people. That's going to be the wake-up call, at least I hope it is.
I agree. And where's the Democrats? I get tired of these people from the right sending me all this email every week. All you do is bash Republicans. Well, hey, I'm not exactly enamored with the Democratic Party right now. Where is the leadership of the Democratic Party standing up for what's right in this? Who's going to have the guts and the moral fortitude to come forth and say, hey, this is wrong?
Well, that's one of the reasons that Bush planned it. That the permission to go to war would be about 30 days before the congressional election, because the Congress is terrified of being pointed out as a yellow belly, and they'll vote to drop the bombs anytime there's a situation like that, I believe. You were talking earlier about how hard it is to recruit the Iraqis to be policemen and to be firemen and to be soldiers. And I know you know this, but for your audience, back in Gulf War I, our government told the Kurds if they would support us, we were going to attack Saddam Hussein. And the Kurds rose up with us, and the war ended very quickly, thank heavens. And we let Saddam Hussein keep his attack helicopters, and we pulled out, and we left the Kurds hanging out there in the wind. And this, all this talk about Saddam Hussein killing his own people, blah, 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 a lot of that responsibility falls right on President Bush Sr.'s administration.
Oh, sure. It was a big mistake. There was no doubt about it. It was a big mistake to let him off at the hook at that.
And switching over to this Cindy Sheehan, I'm not sure how that timeline worked, but at the time you interviewed her, which was interesting, nobody had any idea about the mother or the grandmother having the stroke?
Yeah, that's right. Mother. No, nobody knew at that time. It hadn't happened yet.
I listened to Rush Limbaugh on Friday, and he really was ridiculing that whole thing. And I thought, you know, if Guy James was out there on the opposite side and somebody had to leave for a family emergency, why make fun of somebody like that?
Oh, yeah. They've got no conscience.
Limbaugh was saying that, oh, what's the liberal news media going to talk about now? She had to leave, blah, blah, blah. And who knows, maybe next week he'll come on and say he never said that. What is he going to say?
you know, it's going to keep right on keeping on because it's a cause now that won't be stopped.
And I was listening to Michael Savage. I had to take an aspirin to listen to him, but he said that Bush, if his numbers go below 40, he's a lame duck, just like Bill Clinton was during the impeachment. I know that's a lie because during that, he was impeached, but when it went to the Senate and the stock market was booming and people had work to do and everything was going right, his poll numbers never dipped down. And the Senate knew that, and they knew as soon as that impeachment reached them that they were not going to impeach Bill Clinton. So this is how the right wing slips in those little insidious lies that people don't catch on to. It's like a kindergarten class. Every week you have to have color books. And I hope you still have the tape of President Bush saying that there was no connection between Saddam Hussein and that 9/11. He said it in front of the cameras.
Oh, he sure did.
And now we hear the right wing coming back saying there was a connection. Well, you know, what about Florida? The pilots trained in Florida. They were using the Kinkos in Florida. They were living here. Why didn't we bomb Florida? I mean, you have to find a connection that makes sense. Not Bin Laden hated Saddam and still does. And if President Bush said there was no connection, then people that refused to stop repeating that lie over and over, I wish you'd play that tape if you can sometime.
Yeah, we'll bring that in again next week. I got it stored someplace. I've got all that stuff.
Well, remember, it's part of the show is kindergarten because people are just not going to listen to the truth no matter how many times you try it.
Oh, you know, once again this week, I must have gotten 30 or 40 emails this week. Liar, liar, liar. And so I try and write back most of them. It's okay. Tell me what was the lie. And, of course, that's the end of it.
Well, you take the abuse out there, but it's for a good. It's not unappreciated, and we do appreciate it, guys.
Bill, thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
Good to
take
hear
care.
From you. Let's go on with the phones here for a second. We've got them all jammed up, but let's go to Alice in Milford, Massachusetts. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Guy. I wanted to let you know that I'm coming to Florida, and I'm going to work on your governor's race for the Democrats.
Oh, good.
We're about a month down there.
It's going to be a fight.
So, I wanted to let you know that, and also I wanted to make a suggestion. At the bottom of my emails, I've been able to put in the link to your show as part of my signature,
mm-hmm.
and I think that if other people could do that on their own emails, it would be good. It would spread the word around about you faster than just, you know, maybe word of mouth otherwise.
Well, we hope people will do that. Indeed.
So those were the two things I wanted to talk about. I kind of missed what was going on this week with everything because I was in the hospital, but I'm okay now.
Well, good. Alice, thank you so much for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye. Appreciate hearing from you, and I appreciate your ideas. You know, people, and I'll get back to the phones here in a minute, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. We got one line open, so do give us a call. I want to quickly go through a list. I didn't put these on CD this week of contributors here just lately. This isn't all of them, certainly, but I want to thank Ann Ross from New York, New York, Alice Knowlton in Milford, Massachusetts, Dave Goggins, Eureka, California, Annette Fenner from Marysville, Washington, Joe and Nancy Vogel from St. Paul, Minnesota, Juan Puerto, Fort Myers, Florida, Sarah Kay from Santa Fe, New Mexico, John Ostojic from Cape Coral, Florida, Heather Wilkes from Mesa, Arizona, Elaine and Virginia Miller, both from Newton, Iowa, Valerie Cribbs from Cherry Valley, California, Robert Chapman, Cape Coral, Florida, Mike DeAngelis from San Jose, California, Gordon Koenig from San Francisco, Chris Kern from Hudson, Florida, Maria Wilson from Naples, Florida, Mark Mahevic from Reno, Nevada, and Ben and Suzanne Williams from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We thank all of you folks for helping out with the program.
To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Thank you. You'd be sure and do that. Put a couple nickels in the drawer there. Keep us going. Hey, you know how to tell if the extremist Republicans are worried? just turn on your radio and start listening to the vicious personal attacks against a mother who lost her son in Iraq. This week, they were out in force. Your Limbaughs, your Hannitys, all those people, they were going nuts on Cindy Sheehan this week. And I got to tell you, I took particular delight in it because, you know, they're worried. You know, it's obvious that they're petrified of Cindy Sheehan, and rightly so. She definitely has started something that I don't think is going to be stopped, and there's simmering unrest here right now, and Americans from all walks of life have finally realized that we're most definitely in a no-win situation in Iraq, and polls are now showing that those who favor the war are in the minority. Did you hear that? Those of you who still favor this debacle in Iraq, you are in the minority. By quite a little bit, I might add. America has awoken from its slumber, and most of us now know that it was a terrible mistake to go to Iraq in the first place. Sooner or later, it sinks in. The polls also show that most Americans are now fully aware that we went to war on the basis of lies and distortions about the intelligence that was gathered by this administration. You know, sooner or later, it was bound to happen that Americans would take their heads out of the sand and understand what really happened with this extremist administration when they took us to war. It was massive fraud and conspiracy, and we're paying a terrible price for their deceitful ways right now. So Cindy Sheehan comes forth, and she decided enough is enough, and she decided to do something that our elected Democrat leaders have not done, and that's to demand accountability from this administration for their massive failures in Iraq. Cindy Sheehan, a mother who lost her son in Iraq, you know, needlessly lost her son on the basis of a huge, intentional lie. She wants answers, but no one's giving any answers, only more spin. And true to form, the extremist Republicans are attacking her in droves. Vicious, nasty, personal attacks by their mouthpieces like Limbaugh and Hannity. Both of them sunk to new lows this past week with their attacks on Cindy. And instead of recognizing the fact that she's a brave and honorable woman, and owning up to their lies and fabrications, that they chose to start an avalanche of the lowest kind of personal attacks. I've never heard anything like it this week. These guys have got no class at all. Last week, I personally saw myself with my own two eyes, right-wing, and I mentioned this earlier, right-wing talk show host Mike Gallagher arrive at the scene of Camp Casey with a whole busload of right-wing extremists and shout at her through a megaphone. Gallagher, who posed in a military uniform, like he's some sort of a brave soldier, he was never in the military. Gallagher led the shout, you know, he led the shouts with a bullhorn. So I did send him an email telling him how classless it was of him to do this, and he sends back an answer. His answer to my statement of being classless was to say he'd like to compare paychecks with me. Nice going, Mike. Nice going. I know full well you win the battle of paychecks, but doesn't that completely validate what I said about you being classless when you come back with an answer like that, instead of addressing the charges I made against you? You know, he called me a liar and said I wasn't there to see what he did. And after I described him and his little group in detail, he realized I was there, all right. And he chose to ignore the real crux of the matter and make his ridiculous offer to compare paychecks. But that's what always happens. That's what always happened. Kill the messenger, whatever. Don't talk about the facts, because they can't talk about that. You see, Mike, I don't take a paycheck for what I do. You may be paid a paid whore for the extremist right, and you are. But I answer to no one but my listeners, and no one sends me talking points that I got to put out over the air like the RNC does to you, Mike, and to Limbaugh, and to him. I see him. I see him every day. Mike, I know what you're going to talk about before you talk about it. I see the RNC talking points every single day. Maybe before you see him, Mikey. So I can tell what you're going to chatter on about all day. Specifically, what I can tell. You know, enjoy your paycheck and be proud of the fact that you sold your soul to the devil for money. I don't care. You're nothing more than an extremist right-wing punk who uses your big mouth to attack an honorable woman whose only crime is seeking justice, truth, and some accountability from this administration. And, of course, let's not forget Glenn Beck, my favorite, who called Cindy this past week a tragedy slut. Glenn Beck called Cindy Sheehan a tragedy slut. Nice, huh? Nice. Woman loses her son in Bush's war, wants some answers, and she's called a slut by some alcoholic broadcaster from Philadelphia. That's pure class, Glenn. Pure class. And then there's old Rushy Boy. We've always done that. Called big, fat, huge lie about Cindy Sheehan. Said that, and then he comes back and says, "Well, I didn't say that. I did say it was all fraud. I didn't say that." And then we played the tape where he said he did. You know, didn't take it out of context. Not Dr. Tapes, but from the OxyContin kid's own words, making him out to be a liar that he is. And, of course, Bush himself. Well, you know, when he asked if he was going to meet with Cindy, he said he had to get on with his life. Isn't that precious? The President of the United States had to get on with his life. He hasn't lost a kid in the war, has he? They had to get on with their lives, and that's perfectly fine, his kids. But wouldn't you think the President of the United States would have the decency to meet with this grief-stricken woman and give her some answers, even if they didn't agree? Why should we expect that of him? Because he hasn't given America any answers either. Only lies and more lies on top of more lies. So, Cindy, I love you, gal. I've looked you straight in the eye. I've seen the sincerity in your eye. I've given you a big hug and got a hug back. I admire so much what you're doing. I admire you. And I admire you for being tough enough to take all the slings and arrows that they've thrown at you this past week. They've been running their mouths about you, and they're going to continue to do it, and they'll even get more vociferous about it. But Cindy, be assured of one thing. The more loud mouth they get about it, the more you know you're getting to them, Cindy. And believe me, Cindy, you are getting to them. You are getting to them. You're not going to get the thanks you should, but you certainly deserve it. You most certainly do. I tell you, to call a woman in this case a tragedy slut, I believe you say what you want to say, but if I ever say anything like that on the air, I wouldn't expect most of my listeners to still be with me. But then again, we're talking about a different breed of cat, aren't we? We're talking about people who will believe anything they hear that comes out of the mouths of Limbaugh, Hannity, Glenn Beck, and Bortz and all those people. Anything. Anything they say. There's probably people going around right now swearing that, well, Rush never said that. He said he didn't say it. There's people going around saying that. You know it's true. Let's get to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hello. How you
Hi.
Doing? Hello.
Yes, sir.
I can barely hear you.
Oh, we're loud and clear, Juan.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm glad that, I listen to you because you haven't sold your integrity, and I hope that'll hold, and I met you once. I know that your integrity is not for sale, so keep what you're doing. That's why I listen to you.
Thank you, Juan.
And not the other people. They have to attack, like you were saying earlier, the messenger, because they really cannot deal with the truth. They don't discuss the issues, and they said that we don't discuss the issues, but we do, and you do here discuss the issues. They're the ones that don't. But they say that they do and we don't. So, that's another spin. And because they have more radio stations, a lot of people believe them. But, the reason that I was calling today is that the real bosses in this nation and the world are the multinational corporation, the oil corporation. I still like to know what Cheney, when he met behind closed door with those people, what did he told them? What did he promise them? Why, if they're working for us, why can we not know? And the other, the other corporations like insurance company, the banking, AIG, Monsanto pharmaceutical company, those are the real bosses. These other people like a lot of government officials, including a lot of Democrats, but mostly right-wing extremist people, and the radio station owners, they're just corporate whores. They're not really, so long as they get their money, just like this radio people that you were talking, they don't care about anything. They don't care about the country. They're not real patriots. They just wrap themselves around the flag. And if they get in real trouble, they run for the cross, like Bush when he was on his last vacation. He took off time for Seattle for a woman that was already dead, but he couldn't take time out for a real-life woman next door to him. He flew across country for her.
That's right.
It's a shame. This man is does not have any shame.
Well, Juan, you bring up an important point there. That is a fact. I forgot all about that. He did jump in a plane and flew from Crawford, Texas, to Washington to sign that special congressional bill they passed for individual protection of the Shivo lady. But now he can't be bothered with talking to one person anymore. He did that for one person, but not there's no rhyme or reason to what he does. Juan, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Let's go to, wait a minute. I think we're about to stop for a break. You ready for the bottom of the hour break, Johnny? Let's do it. We'll be right back.
This is the Guy James Show.
Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is the Guy James Show.
You have a product. You have a service. You want to tell people about your product or service, but you're afraid of being taken down a long road of expenses with no ride back. I'm Johnny Johnson, president of J2K, producers of The Guy James Show. Every week, we're called on to help businesses present their products and services to consumers by radio, video, and web. Businesses like yours. Visit us on the web at j2kproductions.com. That's J, the number 2, the letter K, productions.com. Driven to succeed.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com.
Of all the things to focus on, what is it about Bring 'Em On that so arouses them? What is it that so offends them? What is it that so irritates them? Oh, so you little hangers-on in Iraq, so you're going to threaten our guys? Well, come on. Bring them on. We'll do. This intimidates the Democrats. What is the big deal?
Yes, Mary.
I have a son in Iraq, and I just wanted to tell y'all, my child has a family that loves him, too.
Yes.
His little girl was just born in February. When he get back here, he'll be on your own. I'm trying to tell y'all, listen to me, please. You don't understand. You got a child there. I raised my child to be a good person. And this is too much for them to die away on. In some lands that they don't know about, every day I get scared. I just want to tell y'all that.
What is the big deal?
We at The Guy James Show would like to thank the following listeners for their support and welcome them to the growing army of clear-thinking Americans who have contributed to the nation's only listener-supported Democratic radio talk show. Heather Wilkes, Mesa, Arizona. Elaine Miller, Newton, Iowa. Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa. Dr. Irvin Winsboro, Fort Myers, Florida. Valerie Cribbs, Cherry Valley, California. Michael Bradley, Austin, Texas. Steve Brodkin, North Fort Myers, Florida. Mike DeAngelis, San Jose, California. Chris Kern, Hudson, Florida. And Mark Mihef, Reno, Nevada. To join the growing list of those that support The Guy James Show, log on to theguyjamesshow.com and make a contribution. Or send your contribution to The Guy James Show, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135.
Do you have a business or product that might benefit from a little national attention?
You're going to like this.
Are you interested in having Guy James talk about your product or service?
Well, this is it.
Contact Gene Charles today at 239-405-0355 or online at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Who says nothing good ever came out of the internet? You're at theguyjamesshow.com. Quit surfing the internet. All the training you'll ever need is right here. This is The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida, your official lie detector is here. Now, your wait is over. This is The Guy James Show. The Guy James Show. The phone lines are open. Call 1-888-602-7500, 7501-0203 and 04 right now and chime in. You're on The Guy James Show.
You better do it. You don't have a whole lot of time to do it. So if you want to get on the program tonight, you better call 888-602-7500-01-02-03-04. You know the numbers. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Gee, we don't hear from our right-wing friends anymore. You know why? Because they know. They know they cannot defend. And they've thrown in the towel, a lot of them. No, they cannot defend the actions of Mr. Bush. Now, some of them are out there that send the nasty emails every week and everything. And please, would you get a little more creative about your email, all you haters out there? Would you please? I get tired of getting the same old stuff, getting called, the names that you call me. Get together and come up with something a little more creative. If you're going to write hate mail, write some good hate mail. Yeah, Johnny's got something to say. What's up, Johnny?
I actually thought me and Eric have discussed this, and our favorite had to be when someone called you a naked, fat liar. And I'm sitting there going, when did naked become an insult?
Well,
I was very uncreative, is my point.
Yeah, they're just not doing a good job, and they need to get their dictionaries, the source, get everything out, and work at it a little bit. Just don't. If you got an IQ of 72, or get some help. And from some of the email I get, I do get email from people with an IQ of 72, and I usually write back and say, I apologize to your mother for corresponding with a grade school kid. That's what it sounds like a lot of times. So please, I implore you, if you're going to send some email, get a little more creative, work hard at it. I'll appreciate it. I really will. If you're going to hate well. That's what I ask you. Hate with passion and conviction. Just don't throw out empty phrases and call people names. That doesn't do anything. I don't feel hated enough. If you'd really get busy and come up with certain invectives and so forth and work them in there real well, I could feel really hated. But instead, I get a laugh out of most of this stuff, and it makes you sound stupid. So, the idea is for you to make me sound bad, and you end up... So there, I've said it, I did want to get a word in before I go back to Kitty. I'm going to get to you in Chattanooga just a moment. Hang in there, dear. Like many of you out there, I did, my wife and I attended a peace vigil this past Wednesday, and it was a moving experience. I haven't done anything like that in a long, long time. I'd have to say, and I go back a long, long way on that. I'd gotten a bus one time. As many of you know, I'm originally from Ohio, and we got on a bus. In fact, there was two or three bus loads of us, and drove to Lorain, Ohio, from Columbus, Ohio, from the campus of OSU. We drove to Lorain, Ohio, to march with Dr. King. And gee whiz, that was a long, long time ago. Long, long time ago. And I'm so glad that we attended this vigil this week. And I'm damn glad I went to Crawford, too. It was. But a whole group of us gathered together working for and praying for a common goal the other night, an end to this awful war in Iraq. Here again, we find our nation embroiled in a conflict halfway around the globe, a conflict that has no clear resolution, and we know that now. There's no end in sight, and most certainly having no clear benefit to the citizens of this country. A war on terror is all well and good, but it's got to be fought the proper way, and by now, all the military experts know and realize that deploying massive military force in a small country like Iraq is clearly, very clearly, the wrong way to pursue terrorists. The British are finding that out. Many, if not most, military analysts and terror experts agree with that statement. They do. And so what can we do? We're just everyday citizens, and no single one of us has the power or influence to put a stop to this madness. But, as always, as a unified voice, we can and we must exert our power and force. It's sad that we have to be that way. We have to force our government to do our bidding instead of that of the military-industrial complex and the fat cat war profiteers who are making buckets of money off of the dead bodies of our young men and women having to wage this war. Dr. King once said, a time comes when silence is betrayal. A time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us in relation to Iraq right now. Dr. King continued on to say, we must speak with all of the humility that is appropriate to our limited vision, but we must speak. There is such a thing as being too late. Life often leaves us standing bare, naked, and dejected with lost opportunity. Over the bleached bones of numerous civilizations are written the pathetic words, too late. So let's not be too late on this. You know, the bonfire of rejection of this Bush war has been lit, and now is the time to raise our voices in unison to show the so-called leaders of this country that the direction of this nation will be decided by us, not by a handful of rich, greedy power brokers. And I say this not only to show my contempt for those who are profiting from this illegal war, but also to tell you about my almost total disdain for the leadership of the Democratic Party right now. Who among our Democratic Party leaders has stood up and said, enough? We have had enough of this war. Who in the leadership capacity in the party has spoken out and demanded accountability from this administration concerning their outrageous action with regards to Iraq? Which one of our Democratic Party leaders is actually standing up for the wishes of the grassroots in the party? I ask you, who? Who is it? Someone once said the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who in times of crisis remain neutral. We are in a time of terrible crisis, and most of our leadership is without question silent and neutral. It could get awfully hot for them if they don't start understanding that they were sent to Washington to speak for us, not for themselves. We elected them to do our bidding, not that of a chosen, wealthy, influential few. If they don't understand that, and if they don't start standing firm against this war, then they're no different than the extremist on the other side of the aisle. Remaining silent on an issue of war is gutless. And now is the time for our Democratic Party leaders to come forward and show this country some courage. The same courage shown by one small woman named Cindy Sheehan. Cindy Sheehan is not only making this administration look bad, but also she's making the Democratic leadership look like a bunch of cowards. When are they going to rise to the occasion? When are they going to develop some backbone? When will they stand arm in arm with Cindy Sheehan? Knowing that I was in Crawford, Texas last week, one of our better-known Democratic congressmen called me yesterday, wanting to know if it served any useful purpose for him to go to Crawford, Texas. And I told him, yes, hell yes, go. Let's see if he's up to the challenge and if he goes. Let's see if some of the rest of the Democratic congressmen join him. I'll be waiting. A lot of we Democrats will be waiting to see if the Democrats... You know, Bush thinks he's got them in a bind, and he does. A lot of them voted for this war. True, they voted for it on misinformation. But do any of our Democratic leaders and any of the people on the other aisle that now realize this war is wrong in their heart of hearts, don't they have it within themselves to say, I was wrong? Wouldn't we, the electorate in this country, wouldn't we feel better about our elected officials if now and then they looked us square in the eye and said, I was wrong? I was wrong in what I did. I changed my mind. I was wrong. I've seen the Downing Street memos. Now I know I was wrong. I've seen all the evidence. Now I know I was wrong. I voted for the war, but now I know I was wrong. Would that be so terrible? Would it? I ask all my listeners, wouldn't you respect some of our Democratic leaders right now if they stood up and went on TV and went down to Crawford, Texas and said, I was wrong. This war is wrong, and I'm going to stand here and join Cindy Sheehan because that's how the American people feel. Wouldn't you feel better about them? I know I would. I certainly would. I'd love to hear them admit they were wrong and change course. Staying this course is not doing anybody any good except the war profiteers. Now, as promised, I'm going to have made her wait a long, long time. I'm going to go to Kitty in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Kitty.
Hey, Guy.
Glad to have you with us this evening, Kitty.
Beautiful black woman up in Ohio stood up for us on January 6th and challenged. she stood up for us, and she challenged votes coming out of Ohio. Barbara Boxer stood up, Cynthia McKinney, John Conyers. We've got a lot of great black people, Democrats, mostly blacks.
Yeah. If it weren't for the Black Caucus coming up.
Yeah, we would be nowhere.
That's right.
I am in Chattanooga now. I came from Nebraska in 2000. I moved to Nebraska from Colorado in 1995. Chuck Hagel owned ES&S voting systems. He put himself in a position with his rigged voting machine to win a state senator, Republican, from Nebraska. Very rare, very rare. For a Republican to get a senatorship in Nebraska. I live now in Chattanooga, in Hamilton County. Fran Ditz was a Democrat who in 2002, put in software from Diebold to count our votes. We do vote on paper ballots who is then scanned into machines. But who is counting our votes? Who is counting our votes? We can vote all day long, and John Conyers is trying to get us to count our votes. Other countries, it takes days, weeks to count the vote. Here, we want to know who won in 2 hours. Give me a friggin' break. I just want our votes counted.
That's right.
And, we're never going to get anywhere. We're never going to get anywhere unless our votes are counted. Not some frigging machine owned by Chuck Hagel or Wally O'Dell, who is supporting George Bush and his war machine. I just, I'm just frantic.
Well,
I have five children. Thank God none of my children are volunteering for George Bush's jackass war, but their friends are. Their friends are volunteering. And I'm very frightened for them. And,
Not going well, and
it's not ever going to go anywhere. Cindy Sheehan is a mother who knows that George Bush is a jackass who has no heart. He says he wants to get on with his life. He has no time to deal with her. I have to get on with my life. His mother says, why should I bother my beautiful mind with body bags,
Sure. That's the attitude. That is the attitude.
Yeah. And Dick Cheney is getting friggin' rich. Lynn Cheney is... I just don't know what to say about her.
Well, not happy with the people who are in there. Kitty, thank you so much for your call.
Hey, thank you.
It's good to hear from you.
Guys.
Bush said the other day, going along with what Kitty had said, Bush said, and I quote him, I'm mindful of what goes on around me. On the other hand, I'm also mindful that I've got a life to live, and I will do so. Oh, yeah. I guess that's how it is, President of the United States. And here's the exact quote from Barbara Bush on the Good Morning Show. Why should we hear about body bags and death? It's not relevant. So why should I waste my beautiful mind on something like that? My God. Mother of the President of the United States. I'd be so ashamed of that. And we hear the chant all the time, isn't the world better off without Saddam Hussein? Well, that depends. I think the cost far outweigh the benefits. Period. There's no other way to look at it. There's Afghanistan still not finished by a long shot. We're having people killed there. It's a mess. The drug dealers, the warlords are taking over again. Osama bin Laden still running free. We've got more terror attacks than we've had ever. We're in for some $300 billion committed now. How many thousand dead Iraqis? Almost 2,000 Americans killed. Gas is $3 a gallon. Is the world better off without Saddam Hussein? I don't know. What do you think? I'll let you decide on that one. I think on a cost-effective... And furthermore, here's something that kind of gripes me. The Republicans always, the extremist Republicans, have always said, hey, boy, you got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and earn your own way in this world. Am I right on that? Is that not the core belief of the Republican Party? Is it? Of course it is. You don't need any help. You don't need any welfare. You don't need any help from anybody. You get out and do it like I did it, by God, and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and make a man out of yourself and make a woman out of yourself. That's how it's done. That's how we do it, we good Republicans. It's always been me, 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 the Republicans. How does that square with all of a sudden the Republicans, the extremist Republicans in the Bush administration got this attitude of let's go help Iraq? Where did that come from? Tell me when in the history, let's go for the last 75 years, when in that time did you see a Republican president showing any compassion for anybody that wasn't rich or wealthy or whatever? Tell me. They've cut all the social programs to the bone. They've cut the military benefits to the bone. They've done all that. Where did this wonderful attitude come? Oh, let's go help the people from Iraq. We're doing that for humanitarian reasons. Now, Bill Clinton decides to go into Kosovo because of genocide, because of humanitarian reasons. Oh, my God, we've got no business over there. That's not our war. Why would Bill Clinton do it? Why, he's only doing that. That's a wag-the-dog thing. Why, we've got no business going in there. We're not the world's policemen. But let's go to Iraq. Yeah, let's go to Iraq and help those folks. Come on. Do any of you buy that? Do you really buy that? Do you? Can you buy that? You're not gullible enough to buy that, are you? That a Republican president is going to say, gee, let's go help some folks in another country. Screw the veterans. Let's take as much of their benefits away as we can. And screw the folks trying to buy drugs from Canada and, you know, screw everybody on any kind of a social program whatsoever. Let's cut them to the bone, because you need to do for yourself. But, gee, let's go over and help out the Iraqis. Does any of you believe that? I don't know. I hope I haven't belabored that point, but I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. Follow the money, folks. Always follow the money, especially when you're talking about Republicans. Follow the money. Let's go to Michael in Cape Coral. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Guy. Nice to talk to you.
Glad to have you with us this evening, Michael.
Glad to have you back from Crawford.
Oh, I tell you, I wondered for a while if I was going to get back. And of course, that's another story.
It's another hellhole, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you asked some questions tonight. Who has stood up for the Democratic Party? And I have to say Howard Dean is. I don't know if you saw him on Face the Nation this week.
No, I didn't.
Oh, he had two great statements. And one was, the Republicans complain we don't have a platform, so here's our platform. We can't do better.
Well,
and the second statement was, they think I give Republicans hell, but all I do is speak the truth, and they think it's hell.
Yeah, that's an old Harry Truman.
Yeah,
he borrowed that from Harry Truman.
Yeah.
Of course, I've always thought Howard Dean is kind of a Harry Truman kind of guy.
Right. That's why I think the Democrats like you are stupid, because if if we had nominated him as our candidate, we'd be in the White House right now.
Possibly.
Not possibly. It's I mean, the stats show that the governors are elected over senators, so.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work out so well this time.
I know, because, like you say, the Democrats are stupid and couldn't see that he was our best candidate we ever had.
Well, he's a strong guy. I was worried for a while that he might have had his wings clipped. I know for a fact that Biden and some of those folks got to him after that episode there about a month ago when, you know, they were really raising hell about some things he said.
Right.
And I know they worked him over real good in Washington, and I thought we wouldn't hear a lot from Howard for a while, and we didn't hear a lot from Howard for a while, but I hope he sticks to his guns. I really do.
Well, he will.
Well, I hope you're right.
I'll keep pushing him. You know.
There you go. Thanks for calling, Michael.
Well, Gary, I'm glad to have you back, like I say.
Glad to be back.
And when my friend Alice gets out here, we'll get together for lunch sometime.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
So I'm sitting in Dallas, Texas last Sunday morning, and I'm getting ready for the flight home, and my flight out of Dallas is at 11 o'clock Dallas time. So I'm get there 2 hours early, like a good flyer is supposed to, you know, and go through all the obligatory searches and everything, and go sit down and get ready for my flight. Well, about boarding time, they came along and said, we got a little problem with the transponder on the airplane, and we won't be leaving at 11 o'clock. We'll be leaving at 11:30. I thought, well, okay, that's not so bad. And it came time about 15 minutes from 11:30 and said, well, the transponder's a little worse than we thought, and we're working on it, but now we'll leave at noon. Okay, that's only an hour late. That time comes and said, well, you know what? They're really having a problem with that thing, and we won't be leaving until 1 o'clock now. And, all right, fine. And then they came on at 1:30 and said, the flight's canceled, and here's the deal. You got to go make your own arrangements to find your way out of Dallas. So I did. I went to one of the courtesy phones. I got on the phone and called Delta. And got a 220 flight out. And ended in an altercation over that with rabid right-wing Republican from Texas who didn't like the fact that he thought I crowded in line. By then I was a little angry anyway, but so we end up getting out of there at 2:20, and to make up for having our flight canceled and all that, they said once I got to Atlanta, they're going to give me a first-class ticket to Fort Myers. I thought, well, you know, that's all right. I'll take that deal. I don't fly first class. I think the price of it's terrible, so I never do that. I've never been, you know, I'll just admit it. I'm a country boy. I never been in a first-class seat before. So we got it. Took off from Atlanta, I forget what time it was, I think it was 6 o'clock, and we're supposed to come to be in Fort Myers by 7:30 or so. Well, that's fine, because I got this first-class seat. We take off and have a totally uneventful flight, get down to Fort Myers, just time for the wheels to be let down to land, and I'm not kidding you, 30 seconds away from the airport, and the pilot pulls that baby back up again and come on and said, we can't land. There's a storm in Fort Myers, and our radar's out. So we flew to Sarasota. And we flew to Sarasota and landed, and we sat on the runway there for 2 hours while they decided what to... To make a long story short, I got home around midnight when I was supposed to be home, I think, at 5 o'clock. But so it goes in the airline business, you know. And I was just bragging to somebody, gee, I've never had any of these big-time airline troubles like a lot of you have. Well, I had all of mine wrapped up in one day. It was the... quite an eventful day, but I enjoy flying. I do. I don't know. There's something special about airports and getting on an airplane and all. I do love it. I love it so. And the trip to Texas was very satisfying for me in a lot of ways, and I know I've complained every which way but Tuesday about my trip to Texas, but I enjoy meeting some of the good friends and had a nice dinner at a good Mexican restaurant down there. Enjoyed that on Friday night, and I'm so thankful to all of you that attended the dinner. You know who you are on the Democratic Underground. I was made to feel so very welcome, and also made to feel so very welcome at the Peace House down in Crawford. The folks running that are doing yeoman's duty keeping up with that. I'll tell you, it's got to be a very, very tough job. And I am so pleased to see that the activities and everything that's going on there, it hasn't lessened this weekend. And I thought with Cindy going home to be with her mother, that, you know, things might calm down quite a bit this weekend. But it's to everyone's credit that they went ahead and carried through with their plans. But things are going to get a little tense this coming week because this woman from California, this very loudmouth woman I saw in one of the talk shows the other night, she's leading a caravan, I guess. They're actually calling it a caravan, an anti-Sheehan caravan, all the way from San Francisco, going to drive to Texas, to call it a counter-protest. And really, if they're going to call it anything, they ought to call it a counter-vigil, because there's nobody out there protesting on the other side. They're all peaceful. They're all very quiet. They've all been very respectful. They've been respectful of the law. And I don't know how they could have been any less obtrusive than they were. Everybody minded the law, kept their cars off the road, and so forth. It's quite an experience being there. And the Peace House raised a lot of money this week to pay off their mortgage, and they've got the supplies there to keep everybody fed and water and so forth. I guess Bush is only going to stay there through the end of this month, and that's when the whole thing's going to end. And Cindy says she will go to Washington. So I don't know whether she'll camp out in MacArthur Park across from the White House, but if she does, why, maybe we'll join her there. I would love to. That would be a good thing. Johnny's looking at me and says, oh, no, not another one of those deals where we go out of town. You can't imagine the technical nightmare that brings up. Just one thing after another, and I am so grateful that we had a crack staff back here, Johnny and Lila and Jeff was running the board and all. They did such a wonderful job of keeping that show going. I can tell you that from my end of it, on the other end, it seemed like it was chaos plus. And I don't know how they made it sound so good, but it did. When I got back and I haven't heard the whole show yet, but when I got back and heard it on the archives, it sounded like, it wasn't so bad. That all the troubles that we had, why, they were made to look pretty well. They really, really, really came out okay. So I do thank everybody, and I thank the folks here at Wink WNOG for helping us out, getting our sound problems fixed this week as well. We're very grateful to Mandy and the whole crew, the program director here, for getting that fixed up. We've had trouble with that for a long time. Finally tracked it down. All of our internet listeners are very, very happy now. So most of all, I'm happy about all of you listening to the program tonight. And I do want you to remember, we do depend on listener donations, and we hope you'll go to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com, and throw in a couple of bucks. That helps us stay on the air. We depend on that, and we hope to be with you for a long time to come. So that's about it from here this weekend. I do appreciate you listening to the program. Good night, Jeff and Andy. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth.
You've been listening to The Guy James Show, the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Production director Johnny Johnson with J2K Productions. Program coordinator Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.